What's up, pal?
Hey, it's the McMahon.
You had to wait for that Imagine Dragons performance before we started?
Yes. I don't go pre or mid drag.
No, you gotta get your full dragon intake.
I told you that when I met you.
Yeah, so. No, it was our second conversation after my take on the Jews. You said that, and it was...
Yes, I had to gauge you for my take on the Italians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You set up nicely for it.
I didn't know Macy Gray could still rap like that. That was good to see.
I'll be honest. I've had this shit muted for some time now. It's just been muted. Like, I see it on. It's looking at me, but... like, I see the remote. I could unmute it. I'm not gonna.
No.
What can you do?
Oh, man. Well, many things have happened.
Yeah. Most of them for Clemson.
Oh, I just meant since the last time we spoke, but yeah, also tonight.
Yes, and also for Clemson.
Yeah, I feel like Clemson in the first quarter, like, stunk out loud offensively and kind of defensively, and they were dominating the game, so I don't know what's happening.
Well, I mean, that pick six, man. Like, pick sixes are, I don't know. I need the analytic to say how valuable they are. I think they're really valuable to me.
Well, for the team that gets it. For the other team, I would say it's bad.
Yeah, invaluable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unvaluable?
Yeah, invaluable is also a good thing, I believe.
Yeah, like flammable and inflammable. What the fuck, dude? What are we even doing?
Flame retardant?
Yeah, we don't say that word.
Derrick Rose might.
Oh, boy. Man, oh, man.
I was going to say everyone's problematic fave, but I don't think he's anyone's fave. He's just problematic.
Listen, no, he's some people's fave. That's the problematic part.
He is.
Yeah, I did enjoy the, I was going to say gun to the back apology, but I was like, I don't want that to be taken literally.
Well, here's the question. Do you think Derrick Rose know an apology has been stated? Because that was all those words were spelled correctly. I don't know if he typed that out.
No, I feel like it was dictated, not read.
Okay.
From the desk of one Derrick Vesuvius Rose.
Yeah, but he dictated. Yeah, I said it. I said it again.
Yeah, right. not great, Derrick. Finally getting a little goodwill on your side.
What, like, for people who don't know what we're talking about, Derrick Rose told everyone to kill themselves.
Which, again, not like I need your fucking advice.
It's like, yeah, I've been thinking about it. What of it?
Suck a dick.
Yeah. What I found to be the most outstanding part of that whole statement he made was, it's a 57-second statement.
Mm-hmm.
And about the first 51 seconds are probably the most eloquent, well-strung together series of words Derrick Rose has ever put together as an entire life. And then those last 6 seconds happen, and boy, did the train come off the tracks.
I feel like that's the Derrick Rose story in its entirety.
Yeah,
it's like, man, oh man, what a freshman season. Wow, number one pick. Oh, he missed those free throws. Oh, no. That's just the Derrick Rose story. Oh, he's the MVP. They're in the first round of the playoffs. Oh, no.
Yeah, what a game against Philly. Up so many points.
Wow,
nothing could go wrong from here.
Just preening. So much torque on those knees.
Oh, look at him hustling for a ball out of bow. Oh, no.
Yeah. Man, oh, man. It's like, oh, no, what's this, some sort of legal action? Well, hopefully this is some sort of mistaken identity. Maybe we don't. Oh, no. These are the details.
This is a man who surely knows what consent means. Oh,
boy.
No.
Oh, you just flip the page. It's like, mm-mm. It's like, well, at least he's finally healthy. He's on a team where he's got an established role. He's playing some of the best ball he has in many years, and he's not offending any. Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, boy.
He, like, if he had just stopped Because, like, what, especially since the kill yourself part had nothing to do with really the question that was asked.
I think he just wanted to shoehorn that in there. He just learned what it is.
He did. Well, even in his apology, he was like, yeah, no, that's slang term. That's not slang.
Yeah. Maybe it is, man. He from a rough part of Chicago, man.
Yeah, that's just like break a leg.
Mm-hmm. or hello.
Yeah. Kill yourself. Kill yourself to you too, Mr. Rose.
Good to see you. Yeah, like, son.
The first 51 seconds, it's like, man, I was down real bad. I was practicing at this gym all by my lonesome with this friend he kept bringing up, my little man. I don't think that was his son either. It was just apparently a short human being that he knows.
Yes, no, just probably just someone named Little Man.
And he kept bringing him up. And it was this, like, because there's been this manufactured bullshit Derrick Rose comeback story about he's beating the odds just because he's a bad person. Like, he was actually telling, like, how bad it was for him as a basketball player. He's telling that story. He's talking about how Tibbs was the only one who gave him another shot, which is true. And I thought he was going to end it like, I'll always have his back. Nope, kill yourself. Yeah. It was I didn't see it coming. M. Night Shyamalan could learn a thing or two about plot twists, because Derrick Rose has plot twists by the horns. That's just what he does.
Well, you got to think about the things that ran through his mind, and he was like, nah, this is the one. This is the closer. He's like, yeah, he was the only one who took a chance on me. I'm forever grateful to him. And, like, pauses a beat. And it's like, y'all don't think Anne Frank stayed in that attic by choice, do you? Derek, no, whoa! What are you doing?
And I had a nice chat with my pal Pete Carroll last night. He had some fine takes about steel beams and how they're flame retardant.
Yeah, let me pull you guys here for a second. Tug your coat, Daddy.
And me and Nate were talking about it, or Barstool Eric.
Yes.
And, oh, yeah. And he
don't say that word anymore either.
He was like, how about the reporter who immediately pivoted to something else? Like, what are you doing, reporter? Like, you just, you're a beat reporter. You live for a quote like that. Like, it's the middle of the season. There's nothing to write about. Granted, a coach was just fired, so you have some things to write about. Yeah. But what, like, one of the most recognizable names in the sport just tells fans who are against him to kill themselves, and you're just like, so do you think you're going to resign here? What are you talking about?
See, that's the difference between LeBron and Derrick Rose, man. LeBron was subtle enough to just, like, imply that you got to put your work khakis in the dryer in the morning and cut the crust off your sandwich and wake up early to beat traffic. Like, he let you, you lead yourself to the water.
Right.
By then, you just want to drink your brains out. Derrick Rose is just less subtle.
Yeah, I was going to say, his middle name is not subtlety, so I...
No. Again, it's Vesuvius. We just went over this.
So there was that bananas storyline, and that came out in like the middle of the day. The one we woke up to was Hedo Bootstraps Turkoglu.
Oh, boy.
Apparently.
Turkish Trump. Oh, yeah, boy.
Did you see the poll that won Twitter? Let me see if I can find it.
No, I didn't see any poll. Oh, no.
Oh, this is a tough poll. Yeah, hoops hype. They quote tweeted former NBA player Hedo Turkoglu, now chief advisor to the president of Turkey. Sure. First of all, what a gig.
Yeah, sure. Pretty good.
I understand that that's like, not a great president, but like if you can wiggle your way into chief advisor after just like playing for the Magic for a long period of time, pretty good.
Yeah, no, I was like, if you asked, I would have been like, what's that guy doing? Was he coaching like the Kings G League team? What's he doing? Is he on Popovich's bench? What's that guy up to? Oh, he's oppressing the masses. Oh boy. Oh boy, I wouldn't have guessed that. No.
But former NBA player Hedo Turkoglu, now chief advisor to the president of Turkey, says Ines Kanter's fear of being killed in London is, quote, another example of the political smear campaign. And so...
Sound like he's good at his job, man.
Yeah, listen, that's a guy who's going to be alive for quite some time, Hedo Turkoglu.
Man, oh man.
He quoted the Hoops Hype quoted this. And they just said, let's vote, dot, dot, dot. And then they started a thread with a poll. Mm-hmm. And it says, pick one side, Team Cantor, Team Turkaloo. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, boy. Well, 50-50?
It was basically like, do you think Cantor should be murdered in London? Or do you think this is all propaganda?
That's what I'm asking. Pick a side. Hey, man, Tua ain't looking great out here.
I mean, the pick six he threw was quite possibly the worst pass of all time up until he threw the other interception, which was for sure the worst pass of all time.
Hey, it was an arm punt. Get it right. I feel like he's got one more terrible throw in him, man. He just doesn't look comfortable.
What I don't understand, no, he doesn't. And when you get a helmet directly to the dick, that'll do it. Mm-hmm. But what I don't understand is Alabama's been moving the ball.
Yeah.
You're just not putting points on the board.
Yeah, no, that at some point they'll need to do the latter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see Clemson getting less points throughout the court. Like I feel like they're going to have at least this many points. I don't see them going backwards in points at any point during this game.
I think a good bit of it, and I hate to say it, good Lord, Damian Harris, I think he's Alabama's third best running back. And I feel like he's getting not third best running back touches.
Yeah, Harris.
Najee Harris is good. Josh Jacobs terrifies me.
He does.
And Dame's fine, but this is a championship, man. I need more than fine.
Yeah, they just ran the worst play action of all time. Just did not work.
Yeah, no, Clemson apparently very good.
But, like, I don't feel like either – like, both defensive lines, I would say, are playing very well, but both secondaries have kind of been just trash.
Pretty much, yes. Well, I don't know, because Clemson's got two picks, so I can't say completely trash.
They do, but it's not like they were like jumping routes or doing like. Of course, you get credit for the interceptions, but it's not like they went like above and beyond to get them. You know what I mean? Like
the first one, he read it perfectly, but he still had to make the jump, catch, and run.
All fair points, but like the second one was pretty much the Foles interception where he just threw it to the Bears for reasons I still don't understand yesterday.
Listen, he knew what he was doing. Maybe Tua did too.
I'm not going to be the person that starts questioning Nick Foles. That's what I'm not about to be.
This is terrifying. Like, they're up. This is the biggest deficit of the season, and Clemson's just playing. Oh, yeah. You think Alabama's been down to 15? Ole Miss?
I know they were down in that Georgia game. I just don't know how much, apparently.
Oh, no. It wasn't 15.
It must have been 14. I know it was two scores.
And yikes. And they're missing a whole, like, first-round defensive line prospect. He's just playing.
They just replaced him with another first-round defensive line.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But even then, one of those guys is going to be like a third. The guy that replaces him is going to be a third-rounder. That's where you fall off the chart.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Clemson is for sure the one team in the country who's just like, yeah, we play Alabama every year. We're not afraid of them.
Yeah, also, this is, like, Trevor Lawrence is cooking, not a running quarterback. Maybe Saban's done.
Yeah, no, he just keeps running the throw it really far down the field play.
Ooh, what is Tua doing?
Are you ahead of me?
I don't know. Mine's either it's either ahead or behind.
I have 11:03 left in the third quarter.
Let me see, because, yeah, I paused it. It's not even showing the time. What a drop. Yeah, no, I'm 12:27. I'm behind.
Oh, okay. Tua's playing better in the future. Just an FYI. Oh, boy. Oh, phew.
I think he's better. I hope he's playing better in the future. I'd take Jerry Jeudy number one right now. There's no doubt about it.
Every time he makes a play, you're the first person I think of. You're the biggest Jerry Jeudy fan on the planet.
I'm all in. I can't wait till next year he regresses slightly and I have to, like, kind of sell my stock. But people are like, oh, no, you're already in on Double J.
Yeah, no, he's going to be I don't know. I was going to say he's going to slip, but he's just really fucking good.
Yeah, no, slip to where? Number two? Honest to God, if I end up with the number one pick next year and I'm sold on Tua, then I really think about going to get Jeudy too.
I mean, he's their best receiver since your boy Julio, right?
Julio Ridley, maybe. We're just forgetting Robert Foster, I suppose.
I am, yes.
Mm, not I.
No,
yeah, he's incredible.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What else happened? Like,
you talking the game or just in life?
Just life in general.
Yeah, Tibbs out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Rose saying that really buried the lead.
It really did. Because, I mean, what a... First of all, free at last for Karl Anthony Towns.
Man, free at last, I feel like for everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone is free from this reign of terror.
Although, if they're just going to turn around and hire Fred Hoiberg, like, what the fuck are we even doing here?
Yeah, I think it was Zach Harper that was like, Fred Hoiberg as GM would make some sense.
Okay.
It's like, if you want to bring, like, he clearly, like, knows the game, was familiar in Minnesota. But it's like, if you're going Fred Hoiberg as coach, like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like, is it just going to be all Chicago's leftovers? Is that this is this? Like, when Wendell Carter becomes really good, but starts yelling at his teammates there, you just take him on too for a season?
I don't think that's the worst idea.
You just inherit Chris Dunn, just a very angry Chris Dunn.
I mean, he's already been there.
Yeah, he's probably got his still same condo.
He hasn't moved out yet.
Who's the interim? Yet, it was just the assistant, right? Like, they didn't...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... I guess it was someone they were saying was drawing interest from elsewhere. I don't know for what, but someone who...
Could be anything.
Yeah, apparently.
Ryan Saunders. That's got to be Flip's son, right?
I don't want to make assumptions like that, potentially.
I don't know a whole lot of Saunders from Minnesota. Yeah, this is Flip Saunders' son.
Okay, then yeah. So I'm all in.
Yeah, he is the... He was assistant with the Wizards from 09 to 14. Assistant from the Wolves from 14 to 18. And now he is 32 years old and the head coach.
Pretty good.
No, not bad. See, he was like born and raised in Minnesota. Played at Minnesota. Has coached in Minnesota. Be a real shame if he stunk. If he just awful now.
I don't know. Tim's getting fired. Very long overdue. Just very funny. It happened off like a 23-point win.
I see the vision. I was like, nowhere. You're not going to beat anybody by 24, old man. Fool us once. Man, yeah. I didn't know he was that young, but.
Saunders.
Yeah. Sure. Like, give him a chance, Bob. Like, he deserves a chance.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Minnesota Timberwolves. What are they really going to do? And
hire Fred Hoiberg. That's what they'll do.
It feels like a bad idea, in one man's opinion. Hmm. With copying the Bulls' strategies, I would always lean being bad idea.
Yeah, outside the draft, Michael Jordan. And maybe Polonese for Pippen, but outside that.
Yeah, the Bulls have a pretty dreadful history when you like really start. When you just remove the Michael Jordan years, it's real tough.
No, not great at all.
But can Tibbs ever be a head coach again? He can't, right?
I don't think so. I feel like he's got to be in wherever Stan Van Gundy is. Like, do you think Stan Van Gundy will be a head coach again?
I feel like he's at least got the last name. I don't know what that does for him, but he has that.
Yeah, but Tibbs is good as gold with those guys. Like, Tibbs, Doc Rivers would vouch for him. Both the Van Gundys would vouch for him. Like, he don't have the last name, but I feel like he's got the second best thing. He's in the old boys club.
I don't disagree. I think he'll be back as a coach, just as an assistant. I don't see him. Oh, Alabama just tried something real dumb. Mm-mm.
That's what I'm saying. So I couldn't see Van Gundy. I wouldn't hire Tibbs. I wouldn't hire either one of those guys as a head coach until they showed me a reason why I should.
Yeah.
Like, I thought their whole thing, like, each one of them took a couple years, like, very similar paths. Like, neither one of them won it all. Had a couple of successful years. It didn't work out. Star left. Took a couple years off. It was like, oh, they studied with all these new guys. They learned the modern NBA. And they came back and did the same dumb shit. Same thing.
See, I still...
And both had two... both wore two hats.
Yeah, the two hat thing just there's no like track record of it really working, especially for like Tibbs and.
Sounds like it's due. Is what you're telling? Was it Glenn Taylor, the Timberwolves owner?
I do think Tibbs would make a good like defensive assistant. I've seen it work. But I don't know if like Tibbs can get like a whole team to listen to him constantly.
Well, I mean, as always, it depends on like if he wants to do it for like Steve Kerr, somebody's just like just that chill.
Yeah.
Like he just does all the yelling and Steve Kerr's like, yeah, what he said. Oh boy. Yeah, here's the
deal. Yeah, real bad.
Man, oh man. Yeah, that's what you want to do. Against a team as slow as Clemson. Them just cutting immediately to people just trying to explain it to Saban is tremendous.
Saban's like, who called that? Who do I have to kill?
Yeah, he's probably like, he's looking for his soda or something. He's like, all right, we're going to still go here. I got a second. I'll run to the bathroom. Oh, boy. Wow, Alabama's really going to lose this game.
By a lot, it would appear. You know what? They didn't make the old change the quarterback at halftime play that they like to run.
Man, oh man. They do it. Hurst comes in and throws a pick six, too.
I honestly, like, a lot of people were picking Bama in this, or picking Clemson in this game, and I didn't understand it for the life of me. I just had no read on this game, it would appear.
No, I mean, they have enough just defensive talent to be in it with anybody. Like, they have everybody but their quarterback pretty much on offense has been around.
Yeah.
Like the coaches, the court, like, it's all pretty much been the same. So it's like, if you trust Trevor Lawrence, and to his credit, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, he has.
So, yeah, like, again, without Lawrence, I thought it would hurt, and maybe it will, like, depth-wise later on. Because, again, it's, what, two scores right now? With this much time left.
31-16. Yeah, I mean, if Alabama gets, like, a pick six here, or if they just force a punt, like, this game's... this fucking
a score and a stop, and we're back to one score.
It's 9:47.
Yeah, no, this is... I was going to something else I wanted to talk. Like, I understand how bad it might look, but it was like, man, oh, man, the Ravens are down 3-0. They've got to take Lamar Jackson out of here. Like, I was like, man, oh, man, tough crowd.
It was, people got off the Lamar train almost instantly. It was like, what?
Right. And listen, for this first, three quarters, he looked awful. There's no way around it. But, man, oh, man. It was like first down. It was like, you can't win with that guy. He's never seen a football before.
Like, Lamar was definitely bad in the first half. There's and into the third quarter. It's hard for any quarterback to be good. And this wasn't every play, but it was a lot of them. When you literally just have someone in your lap the second you get like drop back.
Right.
Like Melvin Ingram was living in the, like, whoever, and I should look it up because I've referenced him so many times today. Whoever fucking Baltimore's left guard was is the worst player in football. He didn't have a fucking chance in that game.
I'm looking right now. Yeah. So Lamar. No. Oh boy.
Oh no.
Is it injury?
It was an injury on a touchdown.
Oh boy.
it was a, like, they just cut to the receiver catching the ball, and the Alabama cornerback was just in a heap on the ground.
Oh, boy.
And he just ran the rest of the way for a touchdown.
Wait, so who scored?
Clemson.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and whoever the Alabama corner is still on the ground, grabbing his ankle.
Put in the backup corner, have him throw a touchdown.
Yeah, let's see what happened to him.
I'm sure it's going to be something gruesome in slow motion. Yeah, no,
it wasn't. It looks like he just got mixed, honestly.
Mm.
This is going to come out tomorrow, and it's going to be like, hey, both of his Achilles popped. What do you know?
Hate to see it. I'm too far fucking behind. We're about to get to the nitty-gritty.
I mean, no, this game appears to be over.
Good, then I'm going to bed. But, like, again, they – They sacked Lamar 7 times, hit him 9 times. And that was my, I was like, you want to put Flacco behind this line? Like, if it was anybody, if I had any reason to believe in their backup, I would have seen the vision. But I was like, I don't see the vision.
He was 6-1 heading into that game. And his one loss was to Kansas City in overtime.
And people were like, I get that. It was like, he can't win you a game now. I was like, okay, but can Flacco, like, again, Flacco had his chance. This is how we got here. And again, with this pass rush, like, just living in the back. And also, I don't think that play calling did Lamar any favors.
Well, to be fair to San Diego, their defense to start the game was just like, goes. Yeah. San Diego's defensive game plan to start the game was just like, they're not going to run the ball at all on us. Like, they put our boy Derwin just on the line. They were like, you're just going to spy Lamar and tackle him. He did that play to much success. And then, Lamar just looked to the sideline. Harbaugh just shrugged, and that was it. That was the rest of the game.
Pretty much. Well, somebody got on a – the trainer got on a mean boot. Sheesh. What a boot. Hold on, I just want to see this. Oh, yeah. Nah, he put a bad move.
That's what I mean.
Nah, both hamstrings flew right off the bone. Yeah, you hate to see it. Yeah, but and even then, like, that was still almost a very Chargery game to lose. Because it was like, again, he's playing the worst game ever. They're down 2 scores.
Oh, yeah, no, I said it several times today. If that Chargers team shows up to New England this week, they lose by 50 points.
Yeah, no, if that's a Chargers team that shows up anywhere, any other team ever beats them. Because, again, he had, like, what, no passing yards going, like, the third quarter and...
Still almost won.
But Phillip Rivers, like, and again, that Baltimore defense, incredible. And, like, I guess that was my whole point. I was like, as long as it's this close, I don't know how you can change, because if it's 12-0, that Ravens defense can pick 6 any moment.
Correct.
And then I don't know what you do. And somebody told, he's like, you're thinking in terms of Lamar, you got to think in terms of, like, Weddle. And I was like, well, you got to think in terms of everybody. Like, this is, like, that's the point. Like, if he pulls the guy that just got him here, what does that say to your team? So I can see that side. If you pull the guy that can't complete a pass, what do you – like, that's why you're the head coach. You have to make the tough decisions.
Yeah.
I just lean toward I'll ride with who got me there. That's just my philosophy.
So Lamar and Joe Flacco's credit, after the game, Lamar was like, I didn't play good. Like, I hold myself to a higher standard. I need to play better. Which I, like, as a, if I were a fan, hate to hear that. And they asked Joe, like, should you have played? And he was like, we're not talking about that. Lamar did a great job. Like, no one was going to win that game today. The Chargers defense, he had everyone's hitting posts this week for kickers.
Big post week.
But they both handled it very well. It's hard for it. Like, I think the Chargers are good. I think Melvin Gordon's banged up.
He didn't look good. Like, that defense is good, but he also didn't look good.
And I'm trying to think, like, Austin Eckler wasn't doing anything. Mike Williams scares the shit out of me.
Receiver Mike Williams?
Yes, that one. Clemson Tiger.
I'd say there's been a lot of them, so. Lamar was also his leading rusher.
Yeah.
So, like the people not named Lamar Jackson but 14 times for 36 yards.
And the most costly fumble of the game.
Yeah, boy, they could not just hold on to it, like, to start the game. Holy hell.
That Kenneth Dixon fumble was the most costly, because it just put the Chargers, like you said, couldn't move the ball. It put them on, like, the 10-yard line. Yeah. Like, that changed the game.
It was a bailout. And they need it in the worst way. So it's like he has no running game. Like, I could even see, like, the running game's cooking, man. If you want to put Flacco in, try something deep. But it's like they had nothing going.
And to be fair, Lamar looked at his best when he was throwing it deep, so maybe they just should have done that more.
Well, yeah, that's what I know it was to an extent they were, I guess, prevent defense, but it was like these are not the same routes he was getting earlier.
No.
Like, it was some of those, like, a fake play, and three people are like, come on, man, we're not buying that. Like, we're like, I don't know what he's supposed to do with that.
Yeah, Lamar didn't look great. The Ravens in general, like, their defense looked great. As they do, they were the third best unit in the league, I'm pretty sure. I was looking at Patriot Charger preview. Patriots are fourth in points per game. Chargers are sixth. Points against, Patriots are seventh. Chargers are eighth. That shocked me. I thought the Chargers defense was like much better, and they apparently aren't.
I did too. That's a deceiving number, though.
I guess they both. I would say like that. I would have expected that to be like Chargers seventh, Patriots like 15th. You know what I mean? Like the fact that they're on the level.
Yeah.
Yards per game, Patriots are 6, Chargers are 11. Pass yards per game, 9 to 11, Patriots. Rush yards, this one was the one that shocked me. Patriots are 5th, Chargers are 15th.
Sure. That's why I don't take a first round running back. I've been yelling it from anyone who listens.
I don't know if the Patriots can be beat by a passing team, if that makes sense.
Well, listen, if the Phillip Rivers that was played Sunday shows up, you won't have to worry because they won't be a passing. They won't be a passing or running team.
That's what I mean. Like I do this thing where I try to get worried and like try and think of the worst case scenario. And maybe I'm just not seeing it. Maybe like Derwin just has like 5 interceptions. Like that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I think it's basically going to be what they did against Baltimore. Really, like they're going to have to live in the backfield, hold the ball.
But our offensive line doesn't suck.
Yeah, but it's still Bosa and Ingram.
It is.
Like y'all can not, y'all can not suck all you want. It's still Bosa and Ingram.
Yeah, but I mean, did Bosa do anything? I'm not saying he's bad by any stretch, but I don't remember like hearing his name at all the other day. Ingram did everything. Ingram's a fucking problem.
Well, it's like you gotta pick your poison.
Yeah, I suppose.
I would not pick any poison.
Last year,
I'm looking Bosa had a tackle for loss, a sack, and 2 quarterback hits. Like he was out there.
Okay, more than fair. That's a great game. Better than that fucking bum Khalil Mack, who we'll get to. I'm trying to convince myself like why this game will be close. The Chargers have literally never once come to Gillette Stadium and won a game, so that already sways me heavily in favor of one team.
See, I don't. Like that.
That matters.
Yeah. Does it though?
It's Phillip Rivers the whole time.
Okay, then like I would say like okay, Phillip Rivers doesn't play here, but like Derwin James was 9 years old.
Yeah, no.
Like the last time that game mattered.
It doesn't affect Derwin. Derwin also has the ball in his hands like at most twice a game.
I don't know. You putting a limit on him? Bold.
At least twice a game.
Oh yeah, there we go. Nice save.
I don't know. Tell me how, like, oh boy, how we're gonna lose this game?
Defense, like that. The Chargers' defense goes crazy. I'm looking now. They held the ball, 34 minutes against Baltimore, which feels low because it feels like Baltimore was just a 3-and-out, which is a testament to what the Chargers, how much they suck. They had less yards per play than the Ravens.
That's crazy.
And. Oh boy, Alabama stinks. Who picked this team? Who even watches college?
Clemson's had the ball for 12 minutes. Alabama's had it for 27. Mm. They're down 21 points.
Yeah, no. No, but that's going to be it. Like, they had no running game yesterday and still held the ball for majority of the time. Like, they're going to have a running game. That's how you win, I feel like, any playoff game on the road.
Yeah.
Hold the ball. Hit the quarterback a lot. Don't turn the ball over.
If Melvin Gordon were more healthy, I would be more nervous.
Have one turnover, yeah.
They have to win the turnover battle for sure, which is super rudimentary football analysis, but it's very true.
That's all it is. Like at this point, that's all it is.
The Chargers are also 19th in sacks this year. I know Bosa missed a lot of time, but even still, that feels low.
Again, you think they the 19th best, like,
No, I don't.
On Sunday,
don't.
If you want to.
I don't. It's just a shocking number to see is all. Because the Patriots are 29th and they feel 32nd.
Yeah, feel 38th.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Like I want it. Like Keenan Allen, very good. But if we're just going to put fucking Gilmore on him, like he's out. Like he's just done. Like he's not doing anything. Hunter Henry is back. I wonder, because I do respect Anthony Lynn a lot. I think he's like a very good coach. And I wonder if that's him trying to be Belichick a little too much. Like Hunter Henry's absolutely not going to play at all, but he activated him just because.
Well, I mean, is that trying to beat Belichick too much? What if it works?
It might.
Yeah, like what if he throws a key block or something? Like because
well,
he's
no,
like,
I,
like,
but when I say that, I mean he's like not even close to healthy enough to play. He's just activating him just so Belichick has to game plan for him.
Also, even then, I'm not betting against modern medicine. He might be healthier than ever.
Hey,
Hunter has 19 catches.
That was my favorite play of the entire weekend when Antonio Gates picked up that key first down and made a beeline for that sideline.
Precisely no more yards. He was like, right, Hunter, come on back, bro.
Yeah. He's like, I've proven my point here.
Yeah. I think it's going to have to be that, like, the Chargers have good pass rushers. They have a good secondary. I think it's going to have to be, who's getting open one-on-one for the Patriots? Like, consistently.
James White.
Because that's what it's going to come down to.
James White.
Okay, like, again, if he's, and I know they'll throw it to him 20 times, so if he, I think he's going to have to have one of those games.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, because, again, I don't think Edelman or Gronk or what, I don't think they can get that kind of, I think they'll just take their chances.
I do think Sony's going to have a better game than any of the Ravens running backs just because I believe the Chargers game plan was to only prepare for the run, whereas with the Patriots, they have to prepare for everything, you know what I mean? So I think our running will be, and our offensive line isn't fucking trash.
I don't say again, like by default, my Lord.
Right. So I think those two factors alone, like, I've said it all year. I want us to run the ball. Like, I think Brady's still fine, but I think our strength is our running game between the two backs. And we play Rex Burkhead. I wish we wouldn't, but we do.
That's too scrappy not to.
It's true. Tua just made a garbage throw on 3rd and 4. Yikes.
It's something when it goes south. I don't know if it's just because it's so rare for him. It's just so rare that a throw that he has to make actually matters. But I don't know. It's something I got my eye on.
Yeah, no, it's eye worthy. But yeah, I mean, if San Diego just shows up like they did yesterday, which I don't expect them to, but if for some reason they do, that game's going to be over within seconds.
Do y'all have the type of offense to put it away like that, though? That's another thing I wonder. Like, I think y'all can clearly score enough points to win, but is it like the Chargers, like, again, if they come out there and do 3.7 yards a play, the Chargers got 3 more first downs in Baltimore that whole game.
Yeah.
So if they come out there and do that, like a couple years ago, I'd be like, oh, yeah, New England's up like 28-10 now. If they don't go for it on fourth down now, it's a wrap. Can y'all run it up like that? On this defense, that's what I don't know.
I think the thing is, our defense is much better than what it would have been a couple years ago when our offense was humming. You know what I mean? So it's.
I mean, that's fine too, but what has that effect during the day?
Like a pick six.
Sure.
Rivers
wasn't
talking about
anybody. He wasn't. he was 22 for 32. I was like, that's surprising.
Yeah, that feels. I think he went back and edited that after the game. He was real bad. Like, it was.
Yeah, I was like, if he loses that, boy, oh boy. I think that, I was like, that's worse than any 14-2 loss.
Definitely. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree because they were up just so immediately 21-0. I don't know. That the one thing I'm interested to see is, and it might just be the product of who he is now. It might be we've tried to tell him to take it easy until now, but. If Gronk's like a non-factor, if he's just blocking out there, that definitely changes. And I haven't been supremely confident in this team all year anyways, but I do think the AFC's open, and I would hate to squander an opportunity like this. If Gronk's just washed, like completely washed and just blocking, he's still a fine blocker, but I mean, we're going to need him to make some sort of play in the passing game between now and February, whatever the fuck the game is.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's going to be one of those, however they decide, like, again, the Chargers have a great defense. If they're just like, okay, we're just going to cover you with Derwin until we prove you can beat it, because one-on-one, we can handle everything else. And again, if he can beat it, they'll have to adjust. And if not, they might just be like, okay, just like you're gonna have to have a vintage Gronk day. If you've got it in you, by all means. But we're gonna make you have like just a throwback day.
Yeah, I mean the last like vintage game he had was the Dolphins game, which we didn't win, but that wasn't his fault by any stretch.
Right.
And the Dolphins are also bad, so there's that.
Right. It's like I don't know how they were. Like they might have been just giving him them, like those, they're like, we'll concede those. We're just that unafraid of you, old man. And it's like, when he's blocking this time, I was like, I'm either going out to catch and being covered by one of the best defenses, or I'm staying in to block Ingram or Bosa. Like, he's right. Going to have, like, his hands full.
Which might be, honestly, the best, like, strategy.
See, that's, do y'all have enough weapons to get open outside? Like, Edelman don't look the same. White, I trust to get open.
Edelman was, like, his numbers were good this year.
Sure.
They were.
I believe you, but I just think, like, when I watch it, he just don't look.
Okay,
like,
that's fair.
As steady. But again, you've watched him much more than I have.
Yeah, no, I think early on he looked kind of shaky, but recently, like, it's just felt like I haven't thought about his injury. Oh, God damn. Alabama was just getting clowned.
Somebody was just cut in half. They just scored again.
No, it was someone just made like a juggling one-handed catch like down the sideline with two people on him. Like it's getting bad.
Yeah, see, that's in one game I would never be that surprised, but I'm amazed to see this man like just lose, get whooped like this.
The middle of the season I was saying this might be an all-time college football team. Like one of the great, maybe the greatest of all time.
If they won tonight, or if they still somehow win this game, which I don't know what Saban's got up his. He just pulls
a gun out. He needs a gun.
He just brings Derrick Henry out there. But yeah, no, they're like this very well was. And again, if Clemson does this, it's like, well, maybe Clemson was the all-time great team.
Seriously,
like they're undefeated too. So it's like I know that schedule. Well, I don't know. I don't know what their schedule is like in comparison. But, yeah, if they're whooping this team like that, best team ever. Best team I've ever seen. Today, for sure. I think it's going to be like an out at. Like, they've got more athletes. And I think if they use them correctly, I think that's how they beat y'all.
Yeah, I mean, they whoop Notre Dame. I'm trying to see. I know they had a close game. I think Texas A&M week two was 28-26. I think that was the game Lawrence got hurt. Oh, interception.
Tua threw another one?
No. Clemson, or maybe it was a fumble recovery. I don't know, actually. Clemson doesn't seem that worried.
Well,
they might have been down.
We're up 94 points.
That helps for certain. See, there's a lot of old white men talking. Let's see. Nope, super down. Doesn't matter.
Here we go. Yeah, I sped up a little bit. Oh, yeah, it went like on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's down. So in Syracuse, they only beat by 4, but other than that, every other game was a blowout. The Syracuse game was the one Lawrence got hurt.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the one. Only 2 close games, and the rest blowouts, including blowing out Alabama. Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad at all. Like smash Notre Dame. If they beat Alabama by 3 scores as well, then.
It's about to be 4.
Oh, boy.
Deshaun looked bad this weekend.
He did not look good.
No.
My Colts, though. Boy, oh, boy.
Colts are incredible.
Man, oh, man.
Today, office manager Brett told me I should be more worried about playing the Colts in New England than playing Kansas City in Kansas City. Your thoughts?
Ooh. I don't hate that take, Brett.
I think it's a bad take.
I don't hate it because, again, like the Colts, they're just a more complete team. They have a defense. Upgrade on Kansas City.
Okay.
So I think a defense travels.
Okay.
They also do not have Andy Reid.
Not incorrect.
So I see the vision, Brett. I don't hate that. I don't hate that take at all.
They also don't have Patrick Mahomes.
It's true, but again, if Mahomes is an A+, what's luck right now? A?
Yeah, A like, minus.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's still also sure. Very good. So
not incorrect.
Also, Mahomes has never played a playoff. Like we just don't know. Like
true.
Deshaun didn't look good yesterday. Lamar Jackson had one of the worst games. Like we just don't know.
Yeah.
And again, maybe Mahomes throws like an 80-yard bomb the first. Like I had no idea because again, he's doing things we've never seen. I have no idea.
But, yeah, he might just like win the Super Bowl very easily. Been like, yeah, what's the hullabaloo?
Yeah, what the has no one ever done this before?
Yeah. Are there not more games? I don't understand.
But also, again, if he does that, he's the one person like ever. So, like, again, yeah. Most people threw 50 touchdowns the first year started and just.
All right, well, there's that. I thought you Super just meant one. Oh, my God, dude. This is embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, nah. So they should just throw in the towel. I'm guessing they're about to get this 3rd-and-9.
This catch is insane.
No, Clemson is. No, slicker factor. I'm so happy that they're taking all the talent from South Carolina because there's so much talent in the state of South Carolina.
They really, yeah, fucking Zion.
Yeah. Some of it's on the level, too. Wow. Oh, yeah, now they're done. Bama pointing at the ground, pleading for incomplete. Man, oh, man.
He was the most inbounds receiver I've ever seen.
They damn bad.
He couldn't have been more inbounds.
Nah, Bama, yeah. Boy, oh, boy. I wonder if the Warriors get cooked.
Right? Although, what was the stat? Like, years Alabama loses, LeBron wins a final, something stupid like that?
Yeah, well, that was, I think, the first time the Warriors whooped in that, like, put that one. And then the second time, I think they whooped him again. I was like, all right, this just doesn't exist.
we need a little bit more data on this one before we called it a fact.
Justin Ross, very good. Maybe I just take Justin Ross and Jerry Jeudy.
I think that would be a plan.
I think he's a never mind, yeah, because he's a freshman. I thought he was a sophomore. Never mind.
I like that he spells Justin with a Y, too. That's strong.
I do, too. Also like that he can make one hand did catches like that. He's a freshman. Like that a lot.
My whole thing with the Kansas City on the road versus – and we have to beat San Diego first for the 3 Chargers fans listening. Like, just calm down.
Ken Jack 2 more times.
But my whole thing is I would feel supremely more confident at home than going to Arrowhead to play fucking Mahomes. You know what I mean?
I get that, but again, it's Andy Reid who has – like, again, it's not like a myth. Like, Andy Reid has playoff issues, like time management.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a thing. And also, you're combining that with Mahomes' first playoff start. Like, again, when he hits that rough patch, he's going to look at Andy Reid, and Andy Reid's going to be flustered. And
eating a football, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and again, maybe Mahomes is like, never mind, I'll do it myself. Or maybe he's just like, again, almost every other quarterback ever and has like a bad first playoff start. In that case, that defense – the Colts defense is good enough to where it's like, okay, you get a couple bad starts, like we might not let you back in the game.
Yeah.
Like Darius Leonard's just going to tackle everything.
He might.
Yeah. So that's it's what like, he does. Yeah. So I don't hate that by Brett. That's decent.
I think the one thing if he had said, I would have given him more credit. Josh McDaniels literally picked the entire staff outside of Frank Reich, and Frank Reich just was like the original Nick Foles. So, like, with him, with like a staff that knows the Patriots inside and out, like that part would make me a little nervous, I suppose. But it's also a team, and I get it was earlier in the season. Luck was still working his way back. The offensive line wasn't completely healthy, but we kind of handled the Colts when we played them in New England.
Well, and that's kind of the thing. Like, their line wasn't healthy. Now it's the best in the league. I think that was a game where it's like they haven't sacked him like since that game.
No, I know, but it's not like we won that game because we were living in the backfield. We just kind of picked them apart.
Like, also, I know Leonard didn't play that game, so if it's like,
did he not?
I think that's what people were telling me.
He still led the league in tackles and didn't play a game?
No, I think he might have missed two. No, he reminds me of Ryan Shazier. But,
yeah, I saw you saying that.
But maybe better because he's really good.
Walk, yeah. He played 15, so he only missed one. It may have been that one.
Almost certain. I'm looking. Yeah, no, he didn't play New England. So, again, like that.
So he's a coward is what you're saying.
Yeah. He plays this tape. He's like, bet. I wonder if I have 20 tackles by halftime.
That's 44.
Another one? They're just driving now. Like, they're just clearly much, much better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a personal foul, too. Tough.
Yeah, no, I wonder if he brings them out for the fourth quarter, man. Just going to start getting ready for pro day.
I mean, what a beatdown.
This is, man, anticlimactic.
Did not expect this.
Yeah, I'm looking, yikes. This is, that loss was early October. I don't know. Again, it does matter because it happened, but that's, I don't think that's the same.
Was it a Thursday too?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So again, it counts for sure. Patriots, like, should, you know, go into it knowing that they did beat this team, but Brady threw two picks. Yuck.
The three quarterbacks left in the AFC are 0-1 lifetime against the Patriots.
Again, that's fine. Mahomes wasn't born with any of those guys.
No, I mean, he's 0-1.
Oh, I thought, is it just playoffs or?
No, just.
Oh,
period.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that.
No, that makes me feel worse.
What, you think, like, they do?
I wish one of them had beaten it, like, once. Like, you just once. Say,
yeah, man, oh, man. Nobody, Father Time's undefeated.
That's what I mean. Like, Philip Rivers has already felt so much pain. Like, he's going to be fed up. Mm. Andrew Luck's on top of the world right now. He's going to be like, all right, all that's behind me. And Mahomes is the best player on the planet. So, like, none of it feels great.
No. It's like, I don't. If y'all were, like, normal Patriots, and I get it, like, it's still 2-seed, and 2-seed's a 2-seed, but, again, we just saw the 3-seed look terrible. We just saw the 4-seed look terrible. Mm-hmm. So, and again, maybe, the Colts' defense, or excuse me, the Chiefs' defense, it's awful.
It is.
So, again, it's one of those, like, if Mahomes comes out there and has 2-3 and outs, the defense gives up 10 points.
Right,
Mahomes throws a pick 6. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could get out of hand fast.
Yeah, Luck also likes to throw interceptions, too. I don't know if he has that behind him yet.
If he does it, I don't know if he kind of has it. Like, if Marlon Mack just can keep running for 150 yards. And again, I don't know if he throws the ball more than 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, no, that definitely helps. And also, Eric Ebron's just the best tight end of all time.
Yeah. So, like that, yeah. Leonard didn't play. The Patriots hit Luck that game 7 times, and I wonder if he's been hit 7 times since.
Oh, he probably has.
Yeah, like, that's how. So that's not going to happen again. No Leonard. So I can say I might be on board with Brett. The Chiefs, I just need to see it, man.
Just a game.
I just need to see it. Like, if they come out and, like, just house them, it's like, okay, like, maybe they're just Andy Reid figured it out, or Mahomes is just that good, or whatever. Colts shit the bed, whatever, doesn't matter. But I just need to see it.
Well, none of it really matters because the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl again. So
yes. Again, I think Carson Wentz is going to love it in Vegas. He's closer to his family out west.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get those get a couple first round picks and just build around Foles.
I said it on the rundown today. I can't remember what it is, but Foles and Wentz have started pretty much the same amount of games for the Eagles, like, throughout their careers. And Foles' winning percentage is over 100 points higher.
Looks like he's a better fit.
It feels like he might be better at football. I don't know. Call me old fashioned.
I really want this to happen because this is, I don't know, this is going to be analytics first, like old school, like to the core, like to the core. They're going to be like, every single number says Wentz is better, except for two Super Bowl MVP. Like, that's, what are you going to do? I need him to do it again. But if he does it, it's got to be Super Bowl MVP again.
Yeah, like, you can't not bring Nick Foles back if
he does it twice. I don't know how you, like, what? Are you kidding?
Big Cat today just kept saying, like, I want Nick Foles to win the Super Bowl just so when we look back, be like, what happened those 2 years? What?
Right, yeah. We Foles just couldn't be beat.
But he also, like, wasn't playing full seasons. Like, he just...
he just had it figured out, man. This is the most they've ever been beaten by under Saban. Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine who else would have even come close to this.
I mean, early on, Saban, like, he took over a bad squad.
True.
You might take, like, one on LSU beats you, like, bad once, and then you beat him 9 times out of 10. The old play action pass, eh, Tua?
Did not work.
Mm-mm. No, but I feel bad for the Bears, man. I think it's the, like, if you miss a field goal, you miss a field goal. It's the sound of the doink that's so disheartening.
The double doink.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what, like, if you just missed it, wide left. But if it's like, oh boy. No, it's going in. It's going, nope.
It was, did you hear the Spanish announcer call?
No, I saw that. I haven't listened to it yet, but I saw it was making the rounds. I need to listen to it.
I don't know why. I'm never going to listen to another game in English ever again.
Really no point.
Yeah, like, I know what's happening. I don't need them. I don't need to hear them anyways. And most, like, I'm not one of these people like, oh, this guy sucks. Da, da, da. Like, I feel like most announcers on this stage are all, like, perfectly fine. All fine. Like,
yeah,
look, yeah, they're all fine.
Judy. Wow.
And his name is Ricky Ricardo. He calls, like, Yankees. Yeah, he calls Yankees games. He calls Eagles games. He does something else, too. And
loves his wife, Lucy?
Oh, yeah. He plays the bongos. He just starts yelling, no, senor, for about a minute and a half.
Oh, yeah, and I need to see this.
Then he starts singing Chicago.
Sure.
And it's just the best call I've ever heard, like, for anything.
Let him take over the big times.
I agree. Like, he just should be the guy. Like, I don't care what network it is. He just needs to be calling, like, the Super Bowl. Like, I can't imagine, like, a walk-off home run, what would happen. I'm all in. I'm all in on Spanish announcers. Are you looking it up? What's happening? You're just clicking things? What's... This can't be good. If you're speaking, I can't hear you. Well, apparently the Spanish don't like us talking about them. They just cut Tyler's mic.
Yo.
There he is.
Man, oh man.
What just happened?
I don't know. I muted it to cough and it would not unmute. That'll teach me.
I heard just various clicks.
Yeah, that was me trying to unmute it.
Well, it was coming through.
On one side.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had me like a nice little cough and unmuted, and I'm just in there talking, then I hear, oh no. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, no, I was like, the Spanish don't want us talking about them, apparently.
Yeah, no, they cut my vine.
Tough to blame them. They got a good thing going. They don't want the whites and you ruining it.
Listen, I support this movement wholeheartedly.
You've seen what we do.
Who hasn't? Alabama just, I don't know, I've never seen Alabama look slow.
Oh, no, they're like, getting boat raced.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we've seen Alabama lose. Like, that happens once every 2 years. We know what it looks like. But they just look slow. What's the order of the games next week?
I know the Patriots play Sunday at the early game.
Oh yeah, the Eagles. That's what we're, yeah. I don't.
So it's Indy, KC first, okay. Dallas, LA after that, okay. Then Patriots, Chargers, then Philly, New Orleans.
See, like honestly, the same way I feel about Mahomes and Reed, I feel that way about the Rams too. Like again, I know how good McVay is. I've seen how good Goff is. In the playoff, like, I need to see it.
For sure.
So, man. I could see Dallas. I got almost every single pick wrong this week, which was just tremendous. I got, the last one? I picked the Eagles. I'm almost certain I picked the Eagles. I think that's the only one I got right. But, man, I don't, Dallas looks really good. And I think they have, like, the exact type of team you need to beat the Rams.
Just defense.
Amazing defense, amazing running back, ball control. Like basically the Ravens only with a running back.
Yeah.
And to Dak's credit, Dak looked good. Dak had a good game.
Dak continues to be the most infuriating quarterback to watch because he'll make some of the finest throws a quarterback can make and then just be terrible.
I mean, I feel like that's most of them. I feel like that's literally most. Like that's why I don't know. I feel like he gets a rap as bad. I was like, I can understand how you don't think he's great. I can understand how you don't think they should commit $150 million to him. I was like, but bad? We've seen bad.
Yeah.
We watch bad every single week. That's why I think this play, I think, like, good quarterback play, that's what separated, that's why I don't think we've had a bad game, really, like, for the most part. Like, it stunk once Lamar got there, but, like, again, the run getting up to it, like, I don't know. I don't think there was like a weak link quarterback. There was no Ryan Lindley. There was no Joe Webb.
Yeah, I mean, the only, like, usually this time of year, someone gets hurt right before the playoffs and some shitty backup comes in. The only quarterback who got hurt was replaced by the greatest backup of all time in Nick Foles. So
that's an upgrade. So,
right.
So it's like, who's the worst quarterback left? Dak?
It might be Goff.
That's what I'm saying. So, I could, I might as well I'll keep my wrong. Yeah, the Rams just house them 38-7.
I mean, the Rams are for sure the team everyone's sleeping on just because they got off to such a hot start and then they were kind of mid.
Right.
So, like, them coming out and just dominating wouldn't shock me at all. They've just, like you said, they've got to prove it.
See, that's the thing. I think with the way they've looked over, like, the past month, I think it would shock me, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, they came out and put up, it's like, oh, they've got 17 points in the first quarter. They're just hitting on all cylinders. Like, they can't stop them. I would be surprised.
Well, they just beat someone handedly, like, last week, right? I know it was week 17 with, like, San Fran or someone.
Yeah, I think so. Which, again, I got, sure. They beat, their last two wins of the year over San Fran and the Cardinals. So they beat two of the worst five teams in the league badly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, better than not beating them, I would argue.
I mean, I get they already tricked off the one seed, so sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I was saying earlier it would be very funny if we bitch and moan all the time about how often the NFC East plays on national television just for the NFC East to be the NFC championship game.
Man, oh, man, I'm starting to see the vision. I think the Cowboys are going to do it.
All right, so congrats to the Rams.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, so golf, man, oh, man, 384 yards, four touchdowns, no yeah. picks.
Rams Saints, can't wait.
And Donald had 19 sacks.
No, listen, for the Saints game, logically, the Saints should win by, like, we just saw this game. The Saints housed them. But that was Wentz, I believe.
Right. That, yeah, again, it's a different team.
It's a completely different team. Wildly, it might as well not be. They might as well wear like the Kelly greens when Foles is out there.
But yeah, the old Reggie Whites.
Yeah, it's not the same Eagles.
Yeah, no, so I throw that out the window. Wendell Smallwood's the best running back in the league.
No, the Eagles can't run the ball at all.
Yeah, no, they still.
They don't even come close.
But here's their fatal flaw. This might be like the year running just doesn't matter. Right, like they just keep getting hot at the time when it matters. It's like you can't win with a backup quarterback. Yeah, okay, we're gonna do it again. Like we're just gonna—I don't know. People just don't like making field goals against us. We have a good pass rush. Like we've got a strong defense. We've got—I would say a good head coaching staff.
I would agree.
I was like, yeah, and we're not afraid to go on the road. Like we've done it before.
Yeah.
Just keep going on the road. Like, we like being the underdog.
So logically, you should be picking, anyone with a brain should pick the Saints. But also logically, Nick Foles is the greatest playoff quarterback of all time. If you pick against him, you're a buffoon.
And again, like, Breeze hadn't been great either, like, down the stretch.
No, he sure hasn't. So I'm not picking against... Like, if it's Eagles, Patriots again, I'm picking the Eagles. Like, I'm not going to be the fool who picks against Nick Foles until he's just, like, if he gets eliminated by someone, all right, I'll own that loss on my record. Big whoop.
Yeah, no, and I wonder how they cheated to make it happen.
Correct. So, yeah, I'm going Eagles. Yeah, Eagles-Cowboys would be pretty funny. And completely illogical. So I'm going to go Eagles Cowboys.
I think so. Yeah. I just need to see it with Goff. Man, oh man. So that would, where would the game would be in Dallas.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. Jerry Jones would lose his mind. Oh boy. The conference championship in Jerry's world.
Oh man. And Foles just struts in there and swings his man hammer all over the place.
Just knocks the Megatron right off the right off the roof with that hog head.
It would certainly be the biggest gear in that building.
Man, oh man, yeah. Like I think we got another good slate. What are you're going Chiefs? I'm guessing. I think I'm going Colts, man. I don't know.
It is, I mean, I'm not gonna pick it so that there's absolutely no one seed in the, like, every year we like the. Although, to be fair, we've said this. This is the most open it's ever been for both sides. I'm going to pick 1-2 in the AFC and 4-9-6 in the West. Give me that. Give me Chiefs, Patriots, and also the NFC East battle.
I think I'm going Colts, man. They're not. I'm just going to keep riding them and keep adding free agents to their team while people tell me you shouldn't spend any money on anything. That's been my wildest.
Just hold that money.
Yeah, revelation of anything. But okay, why would they sign a receiver? They have Moncrief. All right, well, I mean, maybe some lineup. Why would they sign line help? They've got Quentin Nelson. All right, well, like, what do you want them to do?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I get people are very, oh God, very low on fucking Le'Veon Bell. I get that. To not want to sign anyone's preposterous.
Right. I was like, that's my whole, I was like, literally say whoever you want in there. That's the whole, like, I pick, he's the biggest running back, and I don't know who else, like, what other running back's a free agent. Okay, like, put him in there. Don't care. Also, people, it was like, they've got Marlon. I was like, one, with all due respect to Marlon Mack, I'm not making any personnel decisions based off. Like, again, like, that's just, that feels to me like a fool's move to base it on one guy who had a hot start to a rookie. Like, Alfred Morris had a hot start to a rookie year, too, or a great rookie year, too.
Yep.
And also, I was like, again, Le'Veon Bell can catch 80 passes. Like, correct. Like, why can they not be on the field at the same time? Why is this an either or?
I'd argue it isn't.
Literally everybody in my mentions would argue otherwise.
They have. They did it all weekend. Yeah, no, they have $122 million, I believe.
Sign everybody, dude.
You're right. Who gives a fuck? Like, what?
Sign literally every... People are saying, like, there's no way Le'Veon Bell takes it. How do you know? What are you talking? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, he literally just sat out. I think he's probably going to take the whatever the most money is that comes his way.
Well, it's like that people, like, he just turned down, like, 17 miles. Like, one, he didn't want that from the Steelers, for one. Right. And two, that's... It's deceiving. It's one of those, like... It was more guaranteed money, but a worse deal overall. So that's
right.
Like that's not a fair thing to say.
But, yeah, if you offered Bell 2 years, $40 million, all guaranteed, I guarantee you he takes it.
I'm saying, I'd start with like 25 and just go okay 30. No, okay 35. like I'm going up to. I won't go past. I guess depending on what everything else, 40 would be my absolute max. But
if you gave him $42 million for 1 year, you'd still have $80 million in free agency.
Man, like, the thing is, I know they have some of their own players to resign, but some of them, they're still flushing out the last GM's bad stuff.
Right.
So this might be a good thing. It's like, oh, no, even all the undrafted free agents, I want them to be mine.
Right.
I don't want any of Ryan Grigson.
It stank on my
outside hand. Of luck. And even, like, luck was handed to him, so.
Sure was. I would take it seems like probably the best job in the world right now, just Colts GM.
That's what I said. I think Browns is second, as crazy as it sounds.
No, that's true.
And I'm trying to think who people were saying. A lot of people were saying Jets. I was like, I guess it depends on how you feel about Darnold, but.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of money, too, right? What are they, like, top five?
Yeah, they're up there.
Yeah, so I guess.
But even then, like, it's... Like, this is a 10-win team that has... Like, I feel like a lot of these teams have had this. Like, they have so much cap space, it's like they don't have a quarterback yet.
Right.
Or it's like... A lot of people were saying the Cowboys. Because, like, it was the first team to start a playoff game where every starter was under 30.
Okay.
And I think the Cowboys have top five, maybe top two. They have a lot of cap space, too. But that's one of those, like, it's about to go right to Dak and DeMarcus Lawrence, which is fine. Like, it's good. That's why you have the money to pay the good guys to stay. But the Colts is like, we have our quarterback. He's already paid. We have multiple all-pro talents that are rookies. We play indoors. We play in an easy division. Like, what advantage do you need? And we have money. Like, that. Most importantly, we have lots of money.
Yeah, I don't see the argument for any of the other teams. I really don't.
I guess it's how you feel about Baker. Like, if you trust the next, what's Baker, 20? He's slick old as shit. What's Baker, like 24?
No, I thought he was 22.
Nah, I got transferred like 9 times. Baker turns 24 in April. Like, that's
okay.
I knew he was old as shit.
So he's older than Luck.
Yeah, no, they're out about even, Steve. Let's see. Luck is... Okay, so Luck was born in 89. He turns 30 this year. So, yeah, it's basically if you want to bet on those, what, 6 and some change years. Like, if you think Luck's health is behind him, or if you don't even want to take the risk, if you think it holds up more... But outside that, I can't imagine Baker being, like, better than Luck was before he got, like, over the course of his rookie contract.
Right.
He might hit that level, but it's hard to be better
right.
over the first 4 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's still the Browns. Like, as good as Baker is, right. as good as all the pieces are, it's still, like, you still have that to overcome.
Yeah, like, it's, I think the Colts really just had, a bad regime. because like Ursae is crazy as batshit, but it, like it feels like he'll spit, like he'll do whatever to win. It feels like,
oh yeah,
like as an owner, he's like, I want to do pills with Le'Veon Bell. Let's sign him. And I'm like, all right, Jim.
Yeah, no, I think the Colts is by head and shoulders the best job.
Like it feels, somebody's like dynasty potential. I was like that. I don't, football would never say that's absolute best case, but it, if they don't, if they don't compete for the AFC, like if they're not in the AFC championship at least like three times over the next 5 years, like something went terribly wrong. Like you should.
I'll say two.
I don't know what's going to happen in those games, huh?
I'll say two only because even like those Peyton teams, which were loaded,
right.
Like they weren't getting there. Like they, I mean, he was captain one and done, so that hurt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe Luck's just much better. I know he reached the conference championship much quicker than Peyton did.
Sure did.
So
also got fucking housed in that game.
No, for sure. But again, this is the only time he's ever had talent.
True.
Like they've had, it was Luck and nobody.
True.
For years. He inherited shit. Like, the fact that he did anything before, like, now is a testament to him. And now it's
absolutely.
Like, I have talent. They're young. They're cheap. Like, we're good. And again, Baker's going to be great. But if Baker was, not a senior citizen, maybe. But, but yeah, it's Colton a landslide to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They still have, like, more draft picks.
Oh, yeah, because they made the trade with the fucking Jets.
As I'm saying, like, they've got another second rounder. Because I was like, that's the, like, this year in the draft, Haskins just declared one of these really great defensive linemen is just going to get pushed down.
Yep.
And they're in a spot, I don't know what draft pick, like, they can either just wait and see whoever falls, or again, like, they have that extra second.
Yeah.
If it's like, okay, our guy is falling. Ed Oliver's falling, or Rashawn Gary, whoever we fell in love with is falling. We can make this move and have it not affect us in any way.
Imagine if they put your boy Josh Allen next to Darius Leonard.
I'd faint. I'd absolutely faint. And drafted Benny. Oh, boy. I'd live on the 50-yard line of the RCA Dome or whatever it's called now.
You'd have your slippers on like Tom Haverford.
Oh, boy. Me and Detlef.
Speaking of Tom Haverford, on this very episode, we have Councilman Jeremy Jam. It's true.
What a delight.
Yeah. He's his show, John Glazer Loves Gear, on True TV. Season 2 comes out tomorrow. And I've only seen one episode. Tyler, I know you've, like, loved this fucking show now.
Well, I like, the way you said it about Funch, just, like, this person, they just makes you laugh in general. That's how I feel about John Glazer.
Yeah, he was, and I said it to his face. He was a really nice guy. I didn't care for it.
No, a little too nice.
Yeah, that's what I was like, how do you play such a dickhead so well? Because you're just a delight. I don't understand.
He just kills me. And again, just this, just screaming gear kills me. And I've done it roughly 7 million times since we talked to him.
Like, if anyone remembers the very first episode of Pardon My Take, when they had all those bells and whistles and they were playing all these sound effects, that's essentially how often he yells gear throughout the show.
Yeah, and it works, man.
He shows no signs of slowing down.
Like, this is how Devlin sold it to me to get me to watch the first episode. This is how I sell it to the people. Like, he's casting a show. His real life wife will not be in it. So they have to get an acting wife, somebody to play his wife. So he has, like, everybody play his friends around him. His friend has sex with his own wife, and then John Glazer's also acting wife. And it creates some tension on the set. So that's how Devlin hooked me. It's 30 minutes. It's a quick watch, and it's legitimate. Like, it's laugh out loud funny.
It is. It kills me. It's and he just genuinely loves gear. That's why he does the show.
that's really, I won't say, what's the opposite of burying the lead? What's putting like the lead on top, like the Christmas star? Yeah, like he just gets to, like, while he's out and about, he just uses all this like sponsored gear. And it's just like stuff that you're like, I didn't know that existed. I need that right now.
Any ton of them. What are the old advertisements here?
Let's see. None of the no.
Pretty good.
Yeah, good. I don't want to be blue. No, here we go.
Did you know that there's a new year ahead?
Hmm?
And it's a great time to set goals to make sure that it will be a strong one?
I'm listening.
For you and your business.
Ah!
Not just one or the other, both.
I have been minding it extra strong.
Making that perfect hire can help set your team up for success. Tyler's team, of course, the Indianapolis Colts. But yes. Where do you find that person? You can post on a job board and hope the right person will apply. But why leave it up to chance when you can post your job where people go every day to make connections, grow in their career, and discover job opportunities? LinkedIn.
Wow, what if I was like the Colts GM and I'm just like reading these? I'm reading resumes on LinkedIn. And it's like, okay, Le'Veon Bell went to Michigan State. It's a good school. That's it. Second team all conference. All right. First team all pro. Okay. Okay. Oh, another one. Okay. All right. Oh, did not play last year. Can you talk about the.
Can you talk about that,
Le'Veon?
There's a gap in employment here.
Yeah, you want to talk about 2017 to 2018?
Yeah, what were you up to? I see you were in Miami a lot.
I was just working on myself, really. I was in a untenable situation at work, so I found a lot of, I guess, a private time on my hand. Okay. Well, we'll be in touch. Okay.
Yeah, something to consider.
Yeah.
Most LinkedIn members aren't checking job boards regularly, but 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open and interested to new opportunities like yours. With most of the U.S. workforce on LinkedIn, posting on LinkedIn is the best way to get your job opportunity in front of more of the right people. People with the right skills and background for your role who are ready for something new. Yeah, this is all for Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. It's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business and why a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn.
Yeah, like again, when I interview Landon Collins, they just come to Indianapolis. You play with Eli Manning, it says here. Yes, sir. 5 years. 5 years. It's a long time. Yes, sir, it is. You want to play in Indianapolis? Yes, sir. I just reach my hand over the desk. I assume that's how football deals are made.
I feel like signing free agents is so easy, and the fact that people seem to struggle with it makes me feel like I'm missing a step that's happening.
You mean like physically signing them? Like, what do you...
Like the whole process. Like all of it. I want this guy to play for my team. I'm going to give him a lot of money. I don't know how so many teams, like, even if you live in an undesirable location, like most places I feel like are undesirable locations. So I don't even buy that aspect of it. Like, I'm just shocked. Yeah. Like, I get other teams have money and can offer things too. But when I hear like teams have like PowerPoint presentations and do all this stupid shit, it's like they just sit there and be like, hey, this is why we think you're good. Here's the amount of money we're going to pay you. Is that enough? If it isn't, we can go higher. We can go lower. Obviously, that's not like the negotiation tactic, but it's like, hey, I know how much money we can spend, and here's all of it. I don't know why people seem to struggle so much.
Yeah, it's like they brought out the Shriners driving around in hats and little cars. Jadeveon Clowney was not amused. He did not. It's like he did not much care for it, no.
Find the right people for your business this year at LinkedIn.com/tape and get $50 off your first job post.
That's more cap space for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to use this for my, and I'm going to have $120 million and $50.
Yeah.
In cap space to bring in Jadeveon Clowney. It says here you can push a house off its roots. Is that true? Yes, sir. It says here you can catch a butterfly with your toes. Is that true? Yes, sir.
You just release one in the office.
He just does it. I just pull out my pen. And, it's a very approving nod. Yes, I do think I have no problem forwarding this up the ladder.
That's linkedin.com/TAPE to get $50 off your first free agent signing. linkedin.com/tape. Terms and conditions apply. That's it. That John Glazer. I'm going to go right to that because I'm sleepy and this game has put me to bed.
Gear. No, it's really, I can't. I'm underselling it, but
it's yeah. Watch the show. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's very good.
For the year 2G, the rap game changed with one name. Jules aim is slain, anything on this plane. Remains are found when the best kept secret get heated. You went platinum with a ghostwriter, so in the game you won, you cheated.
How's Atlanta?
Thanks for joining. Pretty good. Pretty good. How's New York treating you?
It's fine.
You seem thrilled to be here.
You
sound like
I'm psyched. I'm just tired. Yeah, but I was just, I was in a car coming over here and talking to the driver. We saw an ambulance, and I'm always... That's one of my big New York nightmares is being in an ambulance with some bad, crazy injury and you're not moving in traffic and you feel like this is how I die.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to fucking die in an ambulance in traffic.
It seems like
the
absolute worst city to have it because everything's a one way too and it's a very narrow street. So there's not much pulling over and letting them get by. You just have to kind of wait it out.
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah. They need to be almost bigger than ambulances. It needs to just be a true mobile hospital.
There should be an emergency lane.
Right.
I'm not sure. I would imagine that's been brought up in, city council meetings and all that, but I don't know.
I just don't know. Like, they just shouldn't allow parking in New York.
Not on the avenues.
Right.
But even on the side streets, it's just, there's nowhere to move.
No. No, it's hell.
It's pretty scary.
Maybe people should stop dying.
The solution. Just quit dying. Mm-hmm. Someone invent like the forever pill.
What would we do with reproduction, though?
Would you freeze yourself at one age? Is that how the forever pill works? Like, you don't just, or you just keep getting older
decrepit.
And older and older.
Super
That'd be
decrepit.
The worst. Just
no, that's awful.
The mass of suicides above the age of 100. Like, fuck this. Then there's the fuck this pill.
We have those.
I guess there's many versions.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah. We've perfected that.
That's
one.
Real.
Yeah. Oh yeah, many times over. We're in this already, by the way, just because you ease so much into it. So we're already talking. This
is great.
The interview. This is it. Everything you've said, it's on record. Will be held against you in several courts of law.
Held against me? The fuck this pill? People are going to be like, yeah, let's get in on that. Let's get down to the ground floor of the fuck this pill.
But we're here with John Glazer. Thank you for joining us, first and foremost.
Thank you for having me. I like that hockey jersey in the office with the corn on it.
The Russian, potentially Russian one?
Yeah. It was a weird, long last name.
Anytime I see like an O with a strike through it, I just assume Russian.
And then followed by two jerseys with Fox on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just really like to confuse people right off the top.
I like hockey jerseys. When I see a hot, cool hockey jersey, I'm already like, what is that? Let's talk about it.
So what are your like favorite hockey jerseys? Because I do agree the sweaters that they have are
so
probably
strong.
Yeah, the best in all of sports.
Yeah, I got my number one, Detroit Red Wings.
Okay.
Best jersey in hockey.
Okay.
Maybe in all the sports. What was that on the other end there? Was that a groan? Was that a mm?
No.
No, I'm safe from Tyler in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Descent.
Big Red Wings fan. No. I love the Wings.
Yeah, I'm from suburban Detroit. But regardless, even objectively, I love the Wings jersey.
Very strong.
Yeah, it's a good look.
Even the Tigers, one of the best jerseys, I would say. Classic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from Boston. The Detroit D hat had been repurposed for Dorchester, which is a part of Boston. So I've seen it many times.
Now, let me ask, I have a lot of friends from Boston. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever asked anyone this specific question.
You waited for a stranger to do it. Okay.
Objectively, what do you think of the Yankees hat? Is it hard to separate your hatred for them with the appreciation for...
I
hate the Yankees too. As a Tigers fan, really don't like the Yankees, but man, their jerseys are awesome.
It's iconic.
A classic look.
Yeah,
classic.
The
away
iconic.
One.
Mm. Yeah, iconic is the word I would use. But when I was very young, my father
Democratic.
My father brainwashed me
it's iconic.
To say that it if you just like twist it a little, it could very easily be a swastika. So I've never been able to get that out of my
counterpoint.
Head.
The swastika itself.
Couldn't
strong
you?
Yeah, no. They had good branding over there.
The Nazis, listen up.
They had Hugo Boss doing their threads. They had everything.
It's 100% true. They just had it's terrible to say that, but even like in Star Wars, the stormtroopers, they just look cool.
Very. Yeah, Darth Vader had a very clean look about him.
But you could almost say that about any logo. You could manipulate any logo to look like a swastika, even the Red Sox B. Take the parts across and then just, there it is.
Have you ever seen, on its side, it looks like two Vikings who got their heads smashed together?
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the thing with the isn't there something with the Bulls logo if you turn it upside down? What is that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I've seen that.
Let me see if I can pull it up. Because I know you're
it's like
talking
a very
about.
Angry something.
Man. Probably just it's a bull, still a bull.
Yeah, it's an upside down bull.
Oh,
my
it's an
God.
Now it's an angry bull.
Oh, the internet here stinks. I forgot about that. But the Red Wings,
yeah, Red Wings,
Red Wings, Blackhawks.
Blackhawks have a sweet jersey. University of North Dakota, I think, used to have the same as the Blackhawks, but green. Mm. But then they might have changed it.
Are they like the Sioux?
I think they were. Okay. Maybe they changed it. But, man, that was cool. I liked it with green. But the Blackhawks jersey, certainly a good one. Maple Leafs, really solid with those striped socks. I thought there was a thing where...
I could probably just Google.
Yeah, like upside down Bulls. Most hockey jerseys, I think, are pretty good.
I'm trying to think. Tampa Bay's,
I think, are pretty cool.
Yeah,
the one with the
like. What are the bad hockey jerseys?
The original Anaheim Ducks. Ugh, when they were literally taken with from the movie logo.
No, you didn't like those.
Did not.
You didn't like those?
Really?
No.
Oh,
just too cutesy.
So yeah, growing up with that, I always liked those. And then the ones the webbed foot D that they have now, those stick. P.U.
Lame.
Wow.
Yeah. Boo. Boo.
I'm trying to think. I like the Bruins and the Penguins. I think black and yellow is an undefeated like combo.
I love that Penguins one.
Really?
It's okay. I when they go with the one that has black and yellow as opposed to the black and kind of gold.
Right, right.
I don't like that.
So like the Lemieux era.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Pittsburgh kind of diagonally down the jerseys.
Yes.
Like, that's a cool one.
Yeah, like the Rangers too have that.
Yes. Rangers, I think, have great jerseys. And I like that old-time Pittsburgh, the light blue one. That one's cool. Have you ever seen that?
Yes. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Powder blue, you can never mess up.
The powder blue baseball away jerseys from the 80s were the greatest. And a lot of teams had them, right? Rangers,
yeah.
Phillies.
Oh, the Phillies did have those.
Yeah,
right.
Remember they had that powder blue with the maroon P?
Yeah.
That was cool. Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals ones are real nice.
I kept forgetting about the Rangers. I was talking about that with a friend of mine, and I think the Cubs might have had one. That Rangers one was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a good look. I'd like to see teams bring that back, the powder blue aways. Well, for me, the Detroit Tigers, 1984, when they won the World Series, that away jersey was great with the block letters. Now they have a script, which I don't like as much.
Yeah.
They got to go back to the block. Go back to the block.
I think I found the bull.
Yeah, I did as well.
Is there something where it says, like, oh, it looks like something? Maybe I'm 100% wrong.
It's supposed to be a robot reading a book on a park bench, which I can see. Did you see something else?
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love, man, your Boston accent came in thick.
It's coming. It's
park bench.
It's getting weaker the longer I live in New York, which I don't care for.
But it popped real hard there, as does mine. Like, I'm from Michigan, mm-hmm. and my Midwest pops hard on certain words. I'm being very aware of it now to not go, like, hard. It'll pop, like, hard.
An old
sax.
Accent all?
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, we got the Southern drawl, too.
We're having an old accent all.
Oh, an accent off?
Yeah.
I remember getting ripped when I first moved here. I went to buy socks somewhere, and I went into, for whatever reason, Urban Outfitters, because I said, oh, they'll have socks there. And there's two, like, young kids working there, and I went up to them. Hi, do you guys carry socks? And they both, like, immediately, socks? Socks? Do we have socks? I was like, say socks.
Yeah.
Oh, it was brutal.
It's like, I'm trying to give you guys money here.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Right, yeah. Hey, fuck you. Can you tell me?
Yeah, that's how I was like, fuck you. Say socks. You have socks. Oh, God. It was mortifying.
And you've never been to Urban Outfitters since.
Yeah. Fuck that place anyway.
But, yeah, you're here. John Glazer loves gear. I got that right?
Yes.
Fuck that up? All right. Thank Christ. That would have been bad. True TV.
It's
coming back for January 8th.
9th.
This is going on January 8th. Was reading his text earlier.
Got it.
Dumb brain.
That's all right.
January
together,
9th.
Together,
I know. No, it's tough. It's real tough.
I know. Yeah.
So this show's insane.
Thank you.
He is a big fan, Devlin, our producer. We're a big fan of you.
That's he put us on.
Yeah, he put us on. We're a big fan of you.
Thank you.
So that's why we needed you in here. But this show, I'm not usually when I'm flipping through the dial, like I need to stop at True TV, just unless it's tournament time, because then they start playing basketball games for some unknown reason.
Get that first round.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how did it come about that that was the perfect home for this show?
At the time that I pitched it, it was way more reality-based, and they were doing a lot of reality-based type comedies with a person at the helm.
Hmm.
And then the show, from even pitch to the pilot, became more scripted, and then even from the pilot to the series, it became a lot more scripted. So if it was, if the show were in its, the incarnation that it is now, which was a much more heavily scripted show, maybe I would have pitched it elsewhere.
Okay.
But we started at True just because of the nature of the original idea, which is much more reality-based. I didn't even think I'd pitch it at Comedy Networks. I really, when I first had the idea, it was pretty loose, and I thought, oh, I'll pitch this to National Geographic or Discovery as like a alternative programming for them, and it'll have a comedy component, but more secondary.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, I'll go to North Face and check out their stuff, and I'll get to test out gear. And for me, it's a genuine thing. I really do love gear. It comes from a real place. And
right.
I thought, this would just be a cool, fun job where I get to try shit and go meet cool companies and see new products. And then we'll come up with comedy ideas later. Maybe we'll do like a web, like a comedy video for a company or whatever. Maybe there'll be a gear roundtable with friends. And there was... in the cycling episode in the first season, when I do the track stand interview with the bike messenger, that was like a one-off idea originally.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, I could, because I can track stand a bike, and I thought that'd be a funny way to interview someone. And that just became incorporated into the story. So that's how it ended up at True. And I also really liked the people that I pitched to.
Okay.
You know, given that it was a very vague idea, they just really latched onto it and responded right away. And I also...
I love gear.
Yeah. Here's the
we
show.
We agree. Go.
I like gear. Yeah, we agree. Go. Done. Here's money.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So that was how it came up. They were just really nice, the person I pitched to.
So you've been acting and writing and in comedy for a while. Is it easier, I guess, an easier entry to get something off the beaten trail on TV now, just or on anywhere now, just because there are so many different avenues? Or is it easier at all, or is it more difficult because there's so much?
It's probably both. It probably depends on the idea, certainly, and it depends on maybe, you know, who you are. If you've done shows, maybe you'll get, oh, we've seen you've done other shows,
right.
Maybe we're not sure about this, but we'll give it a try. There must have been an element of that with this idea, because it was vague when I pitched it. But that was just, oh, we'll make a pilot and let's see how it goes. So it's crazy because there are so many outlets now.
Right.
It almost feels like if I can't get a show made, I'll feel like I'm like, what the really? Come on.
No one wants to watch this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great idea, but there's so much garbage out there. But it is tough. So I think it cuts both ways, which is strange.
Yeah.
What's the worst gear that you've encountered that you were like, why does this exist? Like,
oh,
even a gearhead as myself, why? Who made this?
Oh boy, let me think. I'm just trying to think of the first thing that comes to mind. It's tough because, you know, I don't want to slam any products or anything like that, but
sure.
God damn. You know, we did do something on the show and we used it this season, and my first reaction was, oh my God, it was like technically, what it was is a photography umbrella.
Okay.
And it's this harness that you put over your head. Okay. So it kind of rests on your shoulders. And then the thing opens. So it's above your head. So it's giving you it's like a hands free umbrella, basically. So you can be taking your pictures and be covered. And it looks ridiculous. And so my first reaction was, give me a break. But it's awesome. It's so, if you're doing that, it's perfect.
Okay.
Even as I'm guessing photographers are probably going to feel like, no way.
Right, right.
I'm not going to look like a dick when I do my craft. But it's pretty great. But boy, it looks crazy. But it is cool.
It's just like a large like canopy that attaches to your shoulders?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I saw something like Fozzie Bear, like Muppets used to wear one of those, like the umbrella on top of that.
Well, it's not quite, it doesn't sit perched on top of your head.
So you don't look like Bill Murray.
I mean, you still look ridiculous.
But for
sure. You stay dry, your equipment stays dry.
Which feels like the most important thing. Like those cameras aren't, if you're a professional, those
for
aren't
sure.
cheap.
Yeah, I feel like we had our, like, the set photographer who would come by once a week or so, not even when we were filming. I think she liked it. She's like, ooh, I got to get one.
Yeah.
But then a friend of mine who's a photographer, I told him about it. Actually, maybe he was like, oh, you got to set that aside for me if you can. Maybe he wanted it. Nah, shit. Now I can't remember.
Was this show just an elaborate ruse for you to get a TV network's budget so you could buy a bunch of gear?
Or just get gifted gear.
Yeah, well, also. Yeah.
One of the jokes when I was pitching it was that it would the title of the show should be John Glazer Loves Getting Free Stuff. And so, because we do end up getting, like, I mean, look, I do get some things. We don't get to keep everything. There's a fair amount that is just loaned to us. You know, the benefit is we don't have to pay for it. So they'll loan it to us and then we return it. Which sometimes I feel like, really? It's used. And right. And I wanted to keep that. What the fuck? But we did have, in the first season, there was when we did the Man Cave episode where I'm playing video games, there was a really cool one of those sound docks. And I remember just all season, like, I can't wait to take that home. And then at the end of the season, returned?
Yeah.
Come on. But yes, that's a nice perk. You know, the cycling episode, I got basically a free custom bike made. Although the joke during the show was I actually got paid to get a custom bike, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting paid to make the show.
Not
bad. That was not bad. That was easily the number one thing I've gotten from both seasons was a custom-made bike. And then just a, you know, not like a ton. And it's tough because we're not just being, you know, I can't just say, I want a flat-screen TV. Put that in the show. You know, we're still bound by a budget.
For sure.
And it has to work. And it can't just be, you know, this luxury item that I want.
Yeah, this Ferris wheel.
They're going to flag it and say no. Or they can say yes, but then we can't do anything else. You can spend $10,000 on a TV and then we can't do X, Y, and Z for the show. So we're still
on
by. Yeah. No problem. Yeah, just get me the TV and then you can just roll on me sitting and watching it for 15 minutes. That would be great.
There are bigger issues.
People like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'd watch that. People do like that. I agree 100%. There's an audience for that.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean, we have a Twitch channel where we just sit and play video games. So there is an audience for that, yeah.
That is, my son is so into Fortnite right now, and he will watch videos of people playing video games. And
I'm
always like, no, shut that off. No way. I just don't get it. I mean, I don't get it. It's crazy.
My nephew does it too. I was like, why not just play? Just play. He's like, nah, they're much better.
He'll
like,
be watching. Okay. I guess maybe that's the appeal, is if you're, like, if, I guess it's like watching sports, right?
It is, yeah.
It's just, that's maybe me being an old man, but that just seems crazy to me.
Yeah, Tyler's not that old. He doesn't get it either.
No, I'm very old. It's very
No, I mean, I think it's just so peculiar because it's, like, video games started off as very, like, inherently nerdy for a long time, and then it took a while for them to break into.
But I like video games, and I can't imagine just watching someone play one.
Right.
And I get it. Like, sometimes he'll watch a tutorial.
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, I want to figure out how to do this level. That I understand. But I don't know, man. It's weird.
It's a massive industry right now.
Well, who's,
they're stars.
Ninja?
Ninja.
Yeah.
I was reading the thing. He's a multimillionaire.
Star. Oh, yeah.
He makes crazy.
Money hand over fist.
Oh, my God.
Guys, we're doing it all wrong.
I was just about to say, he's smart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, he was at a, what game was he at the other day when they put him on the Jumbotron? Yeah, he was at the Nets game the other day. They put him on the Jumbotron, and half the people in there were like, what? And then the other half people were crying. They're like, oh, I can't believe he's here. It's a different world. It's a much different world.
Man, oh, man.
Ninja.
Yeah, strong name.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you can't stink with a name like that.
You better not.
Yeah.
Ninja.
But there was a point in your life, obviously a lot of people know you from, I mean, you've been on so many fucking shows, it feels like, but there was a point in your life where you didn't know if comedy was going to work out. You wanted to get into sports casting, maybe?
Well, that was a very vague mindset when I was in college as far as, I don't know, what do I want to – I knew that I wanted to do comedy, and it was just one of those, well, what's my backup plan? And I really had no idea, and I just felt like, well, I like sports. I'm not good enough to play pro, but maybe I could be a sportscaster. And I never – I mean, I didn't do any classes for it, but it was a very vague notion that I thought, that'd be fun. That'd be a fun job. And thankfully, I didn't have to worry about that. Maybe one day I will.
You just never wanted to actually, you just wanted to do something fun forever.
Yes.
Smart. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah. It seemed smart. thankfully it paid off. I guess it was a lot of wasted money in college, but then again, no, it's not. No, it wasn't. Yeah. I did acting classes. I did a lot of comedy shows, and then the life experience and all that. I had a great time in college. It was just, for a degree that I never really used.
But yeah,
that's neither here nor there. I was doing a lot of. It was a very just communications.
Oh yeah,
couldn't even tell you what it means. Very, very odd.
Yeah, they handed you a piece of paper. That's what communications is.
Yep,
for certain.
It was really strange.
So, how long after college did you go to Second City?
Right after college, it was my halfway point of my senior year. I was kind of trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Am I really going to pursue comedy? How am I going to do that? Am I going to move to LA? Am I going to move to New York? Am I going to go to Chicago? Chicago really was the number one thought. I had seen Second City, the touring company, when I was in high school. And so I called the theater on a whim just to see if they ever had auditions. And they were having a touring company audition in February. So I took the train. I was going to the University of Michigan. There was a train from Ann Arbor to Chicago. Took the train there, stayed with a friend of mine who was living there. Didn't know what I was doing. I'd never done improv. I had some really shitty resume that had three things on it, but I just put bullet points to expand it and make it look long. Like a sketch show, U of M, and then like improv, component of rehearsal, blah, 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 blah. Just
make the font bigger.
Yes, exactly right. And then, I'm an old man. This is before digital cameras. Like click, plug into your computer, print, done. I had to go buy a roll of film, take all these pictures, take that to some, overnight developer, which were almost non-existent at the time, somewhere way off campus. And me and my roommates, we gathered all the lamps in our apartment and just put them in the corner. And I must have this headshot somewhere. And you can't tell. You have to be looking for it. But if you're looking for it, you can sort of see that one of my shoulders is slightly raised because I'm holding a lamp and aiming it at my face along with the other like five lamps in our apartment. And then, I didn't know what was what. I had a resume on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper and then an 8 by 10 headshot. I didn't even think, ooh, cut the paper down so it's the same size as the headshot and staple it. I just turned them in together. And I remember at my touring company audition, and I'm so nervous. I've never done anything like this. I'm in Chicago at this hallowed theater, really intimidating. All these like cool-looking actors. I mean, they're all comedians, but still.
Yeah.
In the lobby of this theater, go into the theater for my audition. It's pretty dark in the audience. That's where all the directors and producers are. I don't even know how many people were there, but it was intimidating. And I just hear someone, whose is this? Not stapled together. And I'm like, oh, God. Just my heart sung. I'm like, raise my hand. It's mine. I already feel like I'm done.
Right.
I'm doomed. They already can see that I'm an amateur.
They're like, this is hilarious. You're in.
Well, you never know. But I really was mortified and go through the audition. And I was basically going from the theater to the train back to Ann Arbor. So I'm in the lobby untucking my shirt. That was about as classy as I got. Just, I can tell you exactly what I was wearing. I had this really shitty light blue denim Gap shirt.
Okay.
And it's like mustard yellow Gap jeans.
It's a look. Hell yeah.
This is 91. Okay. That's how old I am. Really just it's two shitty, ugly pieces of clothing put together, tucked in the shirt. And I had this bicycle style cap that said Chinelli. They make bike parts. And then I had this really awesome, like long Quadrophenia style army coat.
Okay.
I wish I still had that jacket. God, it was the fucking coolest. And I'm sure there was at some point. I'm pretty sure that I had these Nike low cut, like sporty hiking boots. I'm pretty sure those are the boots I had. Yes. Cause I was doing a lot of mountain biking in college and I remember those boots specifically.
Okay.
And so, again, I'm in the lobby untucking my shirt, putting my hat back on, getting my jacket and my duffel bag and going to the train station. And this woman comes out of the theater. Same woman who was like, whose are these? And I'm doing her voice. She's like, hi, can I talk to you in my office for a moment? I was like, sure. Trying to play it cool. But inside, in my head, I'm like, holy shit, who is this? What's about to happen? Am I going to have to drop out of school? Oh, my God. Freaking out. She takes me in her office and she was so nice. Her name was Joyce Sloan. She's no longer alive, sadly, but she's like legendary Chicago person, Second City producer, was there for years and years and years. Pulled me into her office and was just really disarming, put me at ease, really nice, friendly, stay in school, finish school, don't break your mom's heart. But, long story short, she just said, here's my card, call me when you graduate. And so that right there sealed the deal. Like, oh, I'm moving to Chicago when I graduate.
Yeah.
It was life-changing moment. So, I still have that card.
Oh, yeah. You need that.
It was incredible.
What did you do for your...
Usually I start sobbing when I tell that story. Well, I'm amazed I got through it.
I mean, it's a hell of a story. What did you do for your audition? Or like what?
It was just all improv. They had you do a couple improvs. There was your...
With your, someone else?
Yes. There's six other people. They audition probably 6 to 8 people at a time. They have you doing various improv games, improv scenes, none of which I had done before. I was just doing my best.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she had said in the when she pulled me in her office, you know, things like, you know, you're funny, you definitely need some training. But, you know, again, she was really, really encouraging and nice where she didn't have to do that.
I feel like that's rare in comedy.
Oh, my God. It was just an incredible.
Rare in life.
Yeah, fair.
She was an amazing person, and you'll hear lots of people from Second City tell equally great stories about her.
Yeah.
And, yeah, unbelievable. And that just set me on the path. But yeah, that was it. And just then you line up and you tell them about yourself, and they're just looking to see how you perform and who you are. And certainly very intimidating. And but I moved there that fall. I actually debated, you know, calling her. I thought, she didn't really mean call her, right? She was just being nice.
That's to everyone, yeah.
But I did. I thought, well, just call, see what happens. And it took me a couple months to work up the nerve, but I did call. I remember I was in this apartment. I had this tiny studio apartment. I just gave a call and got the box office and, you know, hi, is Joy Sloan there? Who's calling? Oh, God. John Glazer, hold, please. So I'm on hold, and I'm expecting either the person who picked up to go, yeah, can I take a message? Or I'm expecting Joyce to pick up and go, hi, who's this?
Right.
And it was, hey, John, how are you? And I don't even think she was faking.
Yeah.
I really think she remembered. And I was just, oh, I was so caught off guard by that.
Yeah.
And just, oh, hi. Yeah. I don't know if you remember me. I was back in February. Yeah, I remember. So what's going on? Oh, you gave me your card and you said call when you graduate. And I'm here doing the classes. Well, that's great. Good luck. And that was really it.
Yeah.
And she wasn't being dismissive, but there was nothing else to talk about.
Hmm.
But she remembered me, like even that blew me away. And and then I got hired by the touring company probably a year and a half later. I think I auditioned one or two more times before I got hired. And I remember when I got hired, seeking her out, and just it was so exciting just to tell her that story.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, pretty crazy.
Definitely.
So I guess how did you go from that to Pootie Tang being your first movie role? A classic. You're in a classic
big
scene
classic
in that movie.
That was so fun. That was just, I just got that from knowing Louie from Dana Carvey Show. You know, he put some friends in there, and I just, you know, I didn't have to audition for it. It was a small role, but man, that was fun. Well, that was like one of those, like Pootie Tang direct, well, not directly, but, you know, Reggie Cathy did this. Do you remember Reggie Cathy? He was Dirty D.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
The late, great Reggie Cathy.
The late, great Reggie Cathy. You know, he did a thing in Neon Joe, this show that I made for Adult Swim, where he played, two episodes where he played my character's father. And it was one of these things where we were casting that role and trying to think, we wanted to get somebody good for it. And our casting director just suggested him. And it was one of those, hadn't even been thinking of someone like him.
Right.
Certainly of his stature. And I wasn't even sure, like, could it be someone who's black? And I don't see why not.
Right.
There's no rhyme or reason for the character. And him specifically, it was like, holy shit, he'd be perfect. Would he
yeah,
do?
He's really good.
Yeah.
Well, he's so good. And I felt like, would he do this stupid show? But then I thought, well, he was in Pootie Tang. Maybe
he's in the stupidest
right
thing ever.
But maybe he's just cool as hell and likes doing weird shit.
Yeah.
And so we reached out and he said yes. Now, I then heard a story, and I don't know if it's true because I never asked him.
We'll run with it.
I heard that he might have thought it was a cartoon. And so just said yes. And then, of course, had to show up and be put in werewolf makeup and prosthetics. And he's like, but he never, if he did think that, he never said anything. There was no pretense about him. Really one of the coolest guys I've ever met. So funny. Just cool to hang out with. Just told great stories. Super nice. Turned out he, I think, went to University of Michigan.
Okay.
And had, I don't think he grew up there. I think he was maybe an army kid and maybe
grew up
was
everywhere.
Born in Germany, maybe. But he, I think, spent time in Detroit. And we talked about there was this place, this in suburban Detroit, a bagel place that had these basically just like a cinnamon raisin bagel, but they called them Fraggles. but he knew those, and we were talking about Fraggles, and it was just, man, that was so cool getting to meet him and work with him. And he was as good as, you know, because his first line when you see his character is just, "Hello, son," in that unbelievable voice he has. And I just remember on set, like, just when he agreed to do it, I remember thinking, this is gonna sound so amazing.
Yeah.
And then it did. It wasn't just, oh, it's not gonna be as good as you think it's gonna be, and it was.
Right. Yeah.
He's just, man, what a, rest in peace, but man, what a performer.
When did you start getting into, like, impressions? Like, was that always a thing you did growing up, or was that just, like, a thing you started because you had to do improv, or?
Do you mean impressions, like, of people?
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily consider myself an impressionist.
No, I wouldn't either. But on the research he always does for us, you've been on Conan a bunch, and you've done impressions of Bill Cosby. I assume you've dropped that one.
Well, I wouldn't call that an impression as much as a shitty voice attempt.
Yeah. Everyone's kind of got a Cosby.
I mean, I think when you do comedy, that's just a natural thing. Like, I never was too into doing, like, real good impressions, but yeah, the Cosby one was always just like, that's just a fun voice to do. You know, all the, yeah, the cadences and rhythms. And, yeah, you know, now obviously it's weird and no one wants to do it anymore. But
no,
when it was the thing, it was always fun. He just has such, you know, a gobble thing. It's not a good Cosby, but it's fun to do.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
It's fun to try.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Well, this has been bothering me pretty much since I've met you.
Uh-oh.
Because you're a really nice guy.
Right.
And
there we go.
Jeremy Jam isn't.
Sure.
He's a loud, obnoxious dickhead. So how is, debatable. Yeah, I mean, yeah, how, like, are you, is that in your mind an impression of someone you've seen in the world when you're carrying that out, or do you just know to play it, like, over the top and loud?
I think, you know, that was such a specifically written character and archetype and all that, and so, I mean, yeah, I've been asked that many times, like, you're good at playing an asshole, and I am, and it's a weird thing, I guess, to be good at, and especially with the gear show where I'm playing an asshole version of myself,
right,
that makes it especially weird, especially in the edit. There's times where I'll be watching and it makes me uncomfortable because I am watching. It's hard to separate it. Yeah.
Right.
It's true though. It's weird. It makes me feel strange. And then I'm like, am I, is it not ironic? Do I do that at home sometimes? God, I hope not.
Yeah. I thought this was a scripted show.
Oh, what? Man, it's weird. But I mean, something like Jeremy Jam is just, it's just fun to play a dick. It's just a fun attitude, and you get great lines, and I've always had trouble articulating why. Maybe it's just fun to be an asshole.
The regular people seem to enjoy it.
I guess.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
I think it's just, in certainly in comedy, it's very fun. You get great lines. It's a fun attitude to play. It's a fun status to play in scenes. It's very freeing, you know, because there's no repercussions as opposed to real life. We're just... But man, it's, you know, obviously with people like that, because what I'm amazed by is even doing something like Jeremy Jam, which seems like more of an extreme stereotype, and like with any stereotype, then you meet someone like that and it's like, oh god damn, especially someone that's just a raging asshole.
Oh yeah.
But there's people like that, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But then it, you know, obviously, like with Jeremy Jam, you know, what that person is at their core, who they really are, there's a sadness and like they're making up, there's insecurity.
Wife left you, yeah.
Overcompensating for whatever. It's always depressing.
A mood. Wow.
Yeah, big mood. What?
Yeah. But, yeah, fun for me.
Yeah, no. That character specifically, I was shocked that you were only in two seasons of that because it felt like you were such an integral part.
I think it was more. Of this show. I thought it was maybe three.
Yeah.
Three or four. Maybe it was three.
But even still,
I honestly don't think of it two. Without that character.
That's what I mean.
It was, oh man, that just was a stroke of luck. Like getting to do that part was such a lucky thing and so much fun. And, you know, I knew half the cast already.
Right.
And it's such a well-written show and well-acted show. It's just well done across the board.
That show, because it's one of our favorites too, but it's like we look at it from like season one and two to where it ended. It was basically just an Office ripoff. And then it found its own footing.
Its own thing.
And became a significantly better show.
Yeah, it was so good. It was, it's cool when you get to, you know, as an actor, you don't get to pick and choose most of the time what you're doing. And to end up on a show like that on a semi-regular basis is pretty awesome. God damn, that was fun. I miss it. God, I miss it.
Well, some came out yesterday that was going to be like a reunion next year or something.
I saw an article about that or a headline. I don't know if that's something I'd be included in just because I was not a regular cast member. But
even still.
You should crash it.
I should just show up.
In jam fashion.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
Reunion jam. Just right.
That would be great. Reunion jam. I'm sure if I did that, no one would be mad.
No, of course not. What was your favorite?
Such a dick move.
It's on brand.
Very jam.
Yeah. What was your favorite jam?
Oh, man.
Because Ghost Jam kills me.
God, what was... I mean, the scene with... The scene where I do karaoke, like the Grease karaoke with,
yep,
with
Leslie.
Amy, that was really fun. And then the scene where she and Nick Offerman... You know, beat the shit out of me where they're trying to get me ready to meet Tammy, where they kind of that was fun. That was hilarious. I saw that scene, like they had a clip of that. I was in a cab, you know, you got the cab TV, and it was just like I'm watching myself just get beat up in a cab. It was so funny.
Like pretty cool.
It was hilarious. It was so weird just to have like, oh, this is this, that's already weird when you see yourself on TV or then even on a clip in a cab.
Yeah.
And then that particular one, it was really funny.
Yeah, I don't know if that's appropriate for cab without context.
It was great.
A wild scene.
All the more reason to show it.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree.
That's how you should choose your cab clips. Should this be shown in a cab? No. Put it on the cab.
I mean, I don't know if anything should be shown in a cab, so
I
maybe.
Agree.
Yeah.
I mute those things as soon as I get in.
I've almost shattered those screens trying, because the mute doesn't work on the first tap, ever.
Oh, no.
You have to just keep
it. It never worked for me at all. It's just that loud.
Well,
the entire.
Cabs are inherently racist, so that's why it doesn't work for you.
Counterpoint, what's not?
It's true, though. It's always a few taps to get that thing to mute.
Yeah.
It's super annoying.
It's like, I don't want to hear this Jimmy Kimmel segment for the fifth time. Oh, like, God. They just keep it on a loop.
Yes.
It's infuriating.
I want to hear it for the first time, respectfully.
Fair. Yeah, no, Jimmy's an all right guy.
It's not about Jimmy. You mentioned peace and quiet in the cab.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to, like, you were talking, you said you were talking to the driver on the way here.
Well,
why?
We were just chit-chatting, because it was just one of those... just, you know, seeing that ambulance and wondering like, oh, this person, they're going to die. And then just, I felt like I wanted to just talk about it.
Pay some respects for the potentially dead.
Potential death.
Get a lot on your spirit.
Yeah. That's just, you're too Midwestern nice.
Maybe. Well, I don't always engage because sometimes, you know, when I lived in Chicago, the most racist conversations I had were in Chicago cabs. Easily. Crazy.
Shocking.
How, like, you would start them, I assume?
Just like chit chatting, and then like, and then the cab driver.
Here's what I think about the Jews.
It was, I had a couple really just awful ones, and usually about black people.
Mm.
Just crazy racism being thrown out like just normal conversation. And oh my God! And I remember once, like one guy said something. Just like he was watching a talk show and talking about like a mixed race couple on a talk show. And he's like, man, if my daughter ever came home, like that kind of a thing, my daughter ever came home with a black boyfriend, boy, she'd lose a father. Like something along, so just disgusting on so many levels. And then I remember
1940s,
it was crazy. And then when I kind of clamped, because we were having a friendly chit chat up to that point. And then I just got like real quiet and he's like, oh.
Are you not like me?
Well, he said he realized he had said, oh my, get out. That would have been incredible. Pulls over to the side. Get out of my cab.
I'll drive your car.
Beat it.
Jesus Christ. It was crazy. Awful.
Man, oh man. Good times.
Good times. Good times. Sweet home Chicago. What's that?
Are you Lions Pistons guy?
I mean, Detroit across the board. I mean, I can't be a Lions fan. That is such a hapless organization, man.
Yeah, they stink.
Correct.
Awful. Awful. Even when they're good, they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the one year they made it to the NFC Championship game and got destroyed, and granted that was against the Redskins, and that team was really good, and they won the Super Bowl, they're still bad. Like, they got killed.
And that's your most recent example, and that was 20 years ago.
That was a long time ago. They had Barry
like
Sanders.
30 years
ago. Yeah, well,
maybe
it was 30.
Close,
yeah, it was.
God. Yeah, that organization.
So did you used to be a Lions fan?
Never.
You were never aware?
No, I was, because they were never good, and then I was sort of weaned on U of M football, and they were always great when I was a kid, and it was much more. My grandfather took me to a bunch of games. He would take me and my cousin to the Michigan football opener for maybe 3 or 4 years in a row when we were probably ages 5 to 8 or something like that. And it was so fun because he was a real crazy character. He had a Corvette Stingray.
Ooh.
And this car was, it was nice. Like a dark orange with a black top. And he would take, this was, everything about this was wrong. He would take me and my cousin, two-seater, we'd share the passenger seat, probably no seat belt.
No, definitely not.
Very safe, yeah.
We get a dozen donuts, he'd eat half, me and my cousin, we'd eat the other half. And then on the drive up, that's like breakfast, mm-hmm. half dozen donuts. And then we'd finish him, and he's like, what do I do with the box? Out the window! And we'd just throw the garbage out the window.
Yeah!
And it was... But and then, you know, getting to the games were fun. We'd go get, you know, some kind of shirt or a jersey at this old bookstore called Ulrich's, which I don't think is there anymore. And then we'd find parking and go to the game. And so I was sort of raised on Michigan football. And the Lions were never that good, and Michigan was always great. And it was because I'd gone to – also going to the games was thrilling. And so much fun. We'd sit. He'd get us tickets on the visitor's side because that's where the tunnel is, where the players came out. We'd slap the helmets and – man, those were so much fun.
So as a Michigan football fan then, does it embarrass you you guys kept the greatest quarterback of all time, like, on the bench?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Ohio State game this year.
No, I don't give a shit about that.
No, we'll talk about that next year.
Yeah, oh, Urban Meyer's gone now. You beat him next year.
Maybe, I hope. But even then, if they do, it's like, well, you only won because he left.
Yep.
I'm assuming you're talking about Tom Brady.
That's the guy, yeah.
I mean, but he played...
He had to win his job back.
I guess.
He got his job taken. What can you do?
He didn't get taken. They were worried what's his name was going to go play pro baseball for the Yankees.
Yeah, what was his name? Brandon?
Took his job and gave it to Henson.
It was Drew Henson. Yeah, that's
Drew
right.
Henson.
Drew Henson. Yeah. But you were already with Second City and acting by then, so did you even care as much?
Oh my God. I remember in Chicago, I was doing the main stage, Michigan. I'm trying to remember what year it was. Early 90s. They're in the top 10. They're playing Colorado, and they had Cordell Stewart.
Oh, wow.
Remember this? Like the Hail Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. So I met a friend of mine because I had to go right from the show. The answer to your question is yes. I've always been
okay.
Like, too crazily.
Okay.
Too crazy about Michigan football. So I met my friend there at this bar across the street because I was going to have to go right to the theater after. And it was one of those, you know, they had already played Notre Dame, and that was always the, you know, here's where we can gauge how are they going
right.
to be in contention for the national championship. This is obviously before the playoffs and all that.
Right.
So they beat Notre Dame, which is also ranked, and it was not, and they were playing Colorado, also ranked. So it's just, all right, this game's over. Just not this, you know, knock down the ball and game over. They're in the top five. They're on their way to a national championship, whatever. And then, of course, Hail Mary, touchdown, they lose. And I just remember, I didn't even say goodbye to my friend. And it wasn't like a slow, like, I just abruptly, I grabbed my bag and just bolted out of the bar. I was so mad, and I was walking around the block by myself, like around the theater, just doing laps.
Furious.
So mad. And then the theater, the Second City Theater is not that far from the lake. And so I walked down to the lake.
Just walked into the lake.
I gathered some rocks along the beach, and I walked out on this pier, and I was
put them in my pocket.
Whipping rocks angrily into the lake. And then I just sat there just like against this light pole, just, God damn it. So mad. And then finally, like, what am I doing out here? And then went back to the theater.
Yeah.
Just like, furious. Furious.
Don't blame you.
It was September 24th, 1994.
Oh, God.
Oh, there was so much season left, too.
Oh, yeah. That was like the third game.
Man, I didn't realize
like
it was that early. Yeah, that hurts.
Both were 2-0, and Ray Carruth was on that Colorado team.
Yikes.
So there's that.
Yikes.
Oh, boy.
So there's that.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Good time.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Do you enjoy acting or writing more?
I like acting more.
Okay.
You know, I never thought of myself as a writer, and... when I got the first writing job I got was Dana Carvey Show. And even when that came up, it was one of those, it was too good of an opportunity to pass up.
Definitely.
But even when I got that job, it was always, this is cool for now, but I'm still going to be an actor. And then it took a little while to get back into acting because the next bunch of jobs I had were writing.
Hmm.
But one of the greatest things that ever happened to me for sure was getting a writing job and just opening up a whole world of possibilities for work. And then even just for myself, to think of myself as a writer and that I could do this. And that certainly helped with creating my own shows and doing my own writing. And certainly at Second City, you're writing.
Right.
You're spontaneously writing when you're doing improv. And then when you're writing the show, you are writing. It is all based from improv, but eventually it's written sketches. But I had just never thought of myself as a writer.
Right.
And then it took that writing job to kind of solidify that for me in a way. I still sometimes feel like David Rakoff. Do you ever heard of that writer? Brilliantly funny guy. He had a book called Fraud.
Okay.
He always thought, oh, I'm not a writer. This is how I feel. And I always kind of had that same sentiment sometimes. Like the two guys I do the bulk of my writing with on my shows, John Lee and Vernon Chapman, they're with this production company. Their group is called PFFR, and they make their own shows. You heard Wondershowsen?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like they made Wondershowsen.
Okay, so they're sociopaths.
Yes, they are brilliant, brilliant guys, extremely good writers.
Okay.
And so people like that, I don't consider
myself.
Yeah,
you don't want to put yourself on their level.
Yeah. I don't think I'm, you know, I think, yeah, I can write funny, dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Conan was the perfect job for me because it was just these short, dumb bursts.
Mm-hmm.
And then writing mm-hmm. more long-form stuff, certainly learned a lot just by doing it, working with these guys, certainly a lot of other writers that I've worked with.
Right.
It's not easy. And some people are just very good at it. And those two guys are really good at it.
Okay. Okay, that's always interesting to me. And the only other thing I have for when comedians come in here that I always find interesting, like who truly makes you like keel over and laugh? Like who's someone that like kills you?
I mean, certainly both those guys. Vernon is just I don't want to single one out because they're both incredibly funny, but I mean, John and Vernon are extremely funny guys.
Sounds like Vernon's funnier, but okay.
Vernon's they're listening. All right, Vernon's funnier. Kevin Dorff is a guy that I did Second City with that really, really always kills me. To me, he was always one of the greatest improvisers I've ever seen. And, man, who really just, you know, I was just because he's on my mind because he came up in this interview thing that I was doing for the show. You ever heard of Phil Hendry? Oh, boy, you got to look him up, man.
Okay.
He's an L.A. talk show DJ, and he does a show where he plays himself, and then he'll do characters. And then he'll have real people can call in, but he's doing the characters himself.
Okay.
And he's got like a stable of characters he does. And then we'll do like super crazy premises. Like one is just, he did one where it was, and he's this woman, he does a character named Margaret, and she's calling in saying, and this is when Christopher Reeve, remember when he fell off the horse and got paralyzed?
Sure do.
And he did a thing where he's calling in as this character, Margaret, and he's like, and she's saying, you know, I think that women should donate their aborted fetal tissue, the fetuses from their abortions, to Christopher Reeve so they can put skin grafts and he can walk again. Like some Jesus of the craziest, Christ. Dumbest shit. And that's an extreme example, but
to say the
listen,
least.
It's all fake. And it's all done for comedy, but people would call in losing their minds, thinking it's real. And it's just, and the characters, the way he does it, it's so seamless.
Yeah.
And it is so funny.
So
good. Like he'll just even do like mundane ones. Like he does like a guy, yeah, like a surfer guy, Jeff Dadder, you know, and just, I don't want to like try to say it because it's not going to be as funny. But I highly recommend looking him up. And this is going way back from, like, I think he's still doing it. But when I was at Conan, when I was living in L.A., someone told me about him. And I would just sit in my car and listen to it. And I bought a bunch of CDs that he had. And they're still on my iPod. And I just love listening. He's so funny.
Okay.
Highly recommend.
Honestly, I got to check that out. The last question I have for you, I just want to make sure this is not true, something that I heard. When the Pistons traded Chauncey Billups for Iverson, you just quit basketball. Is that true?
I don't think I quit basketball, but that really bummed me out. Iverson, obviously, one of the greatest players ever.
Oh, yeah.
But it felt like Chauncey Billups is not done. And then he went on to play really well, like for the Clippers.
Sure did.
And it just bummed me out because that was coming on the heels of that 2004 Pistons team, which was so good. And it just bummed me out that they made that trade. It just felt like the wrong thing, you know. And again, I give a shit too much about sports sometimes, but it just turned me off to just watching that team.
Oh, yeah.
And then even pro ball, it was just kind of, I don't know. I go back and forth with basketball, and but yeah, that just bummed me out.
Well, you sound like you're end a of an era. First.
Lately, maybe yeah, and you know the Wings had such good teams, but even the Pistons, like in 2004, and even a little bit after that, they and even recently had some pretty good teams.
Oh yeah, no, we had Ben Wallace on last week.
Oh,
delightful fella.
How cool?
Yeah, very delightful.
Man, that team was so. I loved that season, especially beating the Lakers was so satisfying.
As a Celtics fan, I appreciated it.
Oh God, I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was a bummer.
Yeah, no, trust me, I've had similar things happen.
I understand.
The Patriots traded Randy Moss. I was not pleased.
Yeah, that was
not
weird.
Pleased at all. It was the right decision, but I wasn't pleased. Yeah, that maybe not the right decision. Iverson probably played his less peak basketball on the Nuggets. Like Detroit started to slip a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe not the right trade. I think you were right on that one.
Yeah, from that standpoint, yes. Objectively, he's, man, so fun to watch. Oh. Iverson, just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, I really like Billups. Just such a good player.
Yeah. Listen, Celtics drafted him. Traded him, I believe it was 60 games into his career.
Really?
Not a bright move.
It was like 50. I didn't think he got that far.
Right. No, maybe that was Joe Johnson I was thinking of. Yeah, there was the early really? 2000s, we were just drafting guys.
No, it's Billups. Yeah.
Fucking getting rid of them for no reason.
That's always weird. I like when websites will like put guys in the jerseys of the teams that drafted them. It's always so strange to see that. Like picturing Billups in a Celtics jersey.
Yeah, it doesn't look natural.
No. They're kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, no, we would have had quite the squad if we just didn't. We had Ben Wallace as a rookie, too.
Really?
And we just kept neither of them. We had Ben Wallace, he was telling us, our coach at the time had him try out at shooting guard because he was only like 6'7".
Weird.
Yeah, well, we also had Antoine Walker at the time who was like a 6'8", 6'9", like wing player. So we were like, oh, we'll just have two of these. Ben Wallace can't shoot. That's not what Ben Wallace does. So he was...
That is bizarre. Yeah. Well, that's all hindsight for sure, but that just sounds weird.
Yeah,
or that just sounds like, oh, bad management.
That was what it was.
Horrible management. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Just terrible talent evaluation.
But that goes back to the Lions. Like, how is it... How can an organization be so bad for so long? Is it just ownership? Is it management?
It's
got to
be.
I think it starts
it's
at the
crazy.
Top.
It's crazy.
It's got to be ownership
so
for that long.
So bad forever.
Yeah. Because they've tried different management, and they all couldn't have been that dumb. So I've always thought top down.
It's got to be, where they're not allowing people to make decisions.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's too bad. But whatever. It's as a Detroit sports fan, no complaints. I mean, the Tigers have had some great seasons. Mm-hmm. Pistons, obviously, have had so many good seasons. The Wings, great.
So yeah, the Wings
the Lions
had,
suck, oh well.
Wings had like a 20-year run.
Oh, my God. 25 years, I think, straight, if not 26, to make the playoffs.
Right, right.
And then four Stanley Cups in 10 years.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Nah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty fun. Complain.
John Glazer loves gear. January 9th, back on True TV.
Yes.
Where can people binge the... Are you on any streaming services or just
on
demand?
Actually, starting today, you can go like if you, on the True TV app, right? What's that? You can it's unauthentic. Like, if you go on the app, you can watch it wherever
you
can
need
watch
to, like,
True
log
Show.
In or anything.
No, you can watch it for free. Okay. You don't need a cable subscription between now and the 9th. So go I call it a gearnge. It's a gear binge. So go do yourself a gearnge. Watch them all for free. And, yeah, soak up the stupidity.
Be ready for season
two. Prepare for season two.
All right. Well, we appreciate it.
Can't wait.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me. This was fun.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I made this Tammy deprogramming kit in case I ever fell victim to her again. First, this is a chastity belt that I made by hand. It might be a couple sizes too big for you, but you can just pat it. The first step is to cut out all sex.
That won't be necessary. We haven't done the deed yet. She lets me rub up against her legs sometimes.
Well, all the more reason to wear it. She knows she has that card left to play, and you best believe she will.
We're also going to try a Pavlovian technique. Ron is holding Tammy's perfume. Girth.
Oh. Oh, smells good.
Oh!
Again.
Tammy! Oh! How many times are we going to do this?
Until the bottle is empty. Again. Twice.
It's going well so far, but it's too early to tell. He was pretty far gone.
Hopefully we get a body in today so I could show you guys the really fun part. Draining.
Oh, God, I hate this so much.
Cool, can I touch a dead body?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down, Eager Beaver. That doesn't happen for at least a year.
Why? How did you become a mortician? Can't I just sign up?
Oh, gosh, no. You need 2 years of school and a year-long apprenticeship. First few years are mostly paperwork and filing.
Ugh, why is every job just paperwork?
Hey, it's a living.
Yeah, I think we're just gonna go, Dan. The reality of your life is incredibly depressing. I'm just gonna stay at my current job until I get old and die, and then end up here being embalmed by some weirdo who had to go to school for 3 years just to cut my guts open. Let's go.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, have a good one.
Okay, we're gonna do some scenes and demonstrate ways that you can resist Tammy. I will play Tammy, Ron will play you.
Hey there, horsey. Time to mount up and ride on into Boner Town. What do you say we get stanky in that pet store bathroom, huh, Jam? Huh?
Do it.
Huh?
There will be no sex today, Tammy.
Oh.
Instead, why don't you go into the pet store and feed yourself to the snakes? To hell with you, woman. Goodbye.
Hey, you big hunk of wiener meat. I've got 40 hand towels, some energy bars, and a Chinese finger trap. Let's get gross.
This gambit has failed. To hell with you, woman. Goodbye.
What are you wearing?
It's a crotch blinder of my own design. In this scenario, she will be coming at you pantsless.
Okay, doors are locked, windows secured. There is no way Tammy's getting in here.
Jam! Strip down, you sex maggot!
And hold! What was your mistake? You didn't check the armoire. Tammy once camped out in my attic for 6 days awaiting my arrival. She survived on rats and rainwater. Let's run it again!